The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Here we go, episode 365, Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, Tony's birthday extravaganza pre-show.
That's right. Look at that. We're like WWE. We're doing kickoff shows. We're doing everything, man. We are live
to tape at the Brown Bear
at
Pub.
At the Brown Bear Pub in beautiful West Orange, New Jersey. The very prestigious, very well-known. That's Matt's glass.
Well, that picks up nice, doesn't it?
That does. You'll hear everything.
We would be very remiss not to talk about WrestleMania and NXT and the whole weekend.
Because we're going to have no time to talk about it tonight.
No.
How are we doing this? Is this going to be recorded? Are we talking ahead? We're ahead of time right now, right? So this is going to be before. This is going to be airing before the Cavalcade of Stars.
Yes. So like when you listen to it in podcast form, so like this will be first.
So if I'm saying tonight, that's accurate. That's not
yes.
Like in the middle of something. So
no,
like,
okay. No. We're going to make Tony when we're done with this. We're going to send it to Tony. Tony's going to put it at the beginning of his birthday extravaganza, so there is WrestleMania talk. I'm sure we might get into bits and pieces of WrestleMania
definitely
talk.
We're going to have to. Tony's going to want to talk
yeah.
about it.
Well, he might not. He might be miserable like all the internet wrestling fans.
Fucking marks.
I hate.
Did you see the back and forth I went in on Facebook with that kid?
No.
You got my post. Go back on Facebook and look at my Asuka's Charlotte post. And this guy, who's a nice enough guy, but just wouldn't. He hated it. Hated the booking. Hated it. It made no sense. This and that. Like, fucking, all the story. She didn't work a body part. Asuka just tapped out. You don't build up a streak for this. I'm like, you have no, like, I don't, listen, I admit, I have no clue what I'm talking about 95% of the time. But I'm pretty sure, and I'm jumping ahead right now, but if you didn't think Asuka Charlotte was a top five match, like, ever, to me.
Right, you're missing something.
You're missing something.
Right?
And again, that's a bit hyperbole. That's a bit actual truth. It was a fucking amazing match.
It was a good match. It was great.
I'll put it up against any match.
I was not okay. I just am not used to this thing.
Yeah, it should,
I had to work.
Should have done a test.
No, it's good. It's running.
Yeah.
We have a couple tests on here.
Yeah.
I had to work all weekend. How was your WrestleMania weekend, Kevin?
Pretty uneventful. I watched everything, but like not in real time. So like I did watch everything.
I think that's the way to go because I did not
I
watch
it.
I did not
I
watch everything in real time either. I watched NXT the next day.
Me too.
On the network. Fast forwarding through the intros. Oh my god, bro, the intros are so fucking long.
Intros are the best part though. For actually, that's so sad that I just said that. But the intros are fun. I love the. I like.
I
the
don't
all.
Know.
It's part of it.
Look, I get it. I get it. But when I'm in a time crunch,
right? Well, that's different.
I worked all weekend.
Did you fast forward through Ember Moon, Shayna Baszler?
No, I did not. I watched that. I watched it. If you went down to New Orleans, I hope you had a good time.
I'm jealous.
It looked like a lot of people had a great time. The professional wrestling industry is thriving. If you saw pictures from Joey Janela's Spring Break, the WWN Live Super Show, Access, obviously NXT, Ring of Honor, everyone had a huge turnout. So I think it's great for the world of professional wrestling.
It makes the year, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
You make your nut. At that weekend, or you blow it, one of the two. But I don't think anyone did this weekend or this week. And it's really a week. Like people start posting photos.
Oh yeah,
from
like
Wednesday night,
right?
Yeah.
I hate 95% of the wrestling community, though.
Well, let's be more specific.
No, I hate 95% of
because the wrestling community includes fans, workers.
No,
producers.
Fans.
Okay,
fans. I hate 95% of wrestling fans.
All right, that's better.
I had to work Sunday night, so I did not watch Mania in real time. And the Mets played the Marlins. My love for the Mets is as deep as your love for the Devils. Congratulations on the playoffs, by the way.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So I went home, and I'm now off on Mondays. That's my designated
gotcha.
Day off. So I knew I'd. So I watched the rest of the Mets game, and then I watched WrestleMania. And the Mets game ended just in time for the main event.
That day, the Yankees won the extra innings that day,
yeah.
So I didn't really watch a lot of the pre-show.
But I was going through Twitter. Just to see what the story was. Spoilers really didn't bother me.
Spoilers bothered me.
Just so, you know, if if I really needed to see something or if I didn't need to see something, I ended up watching everything just out of curiosity. But man, people are fucking ridiculous. People would like, I saw people who were like, they had all these people sign petitions, and if AJ and Shinsuke weren't on in the main event,
it's
like, stop. Like, what is wrong with you fucking people? And I put something up there like, look, I said it and people were like, no, well, that doesn't matter. It does. If you don't like it, don't watch it. You are entitled to your own opinion. But when you just hate everything.
We have the same conversation every year.
It's just so frustrating to just watch it. And I sometimes I feel like people are just doing it to do it. They're just saying negative shit to say negative
shit. And you know what their defense is? Well, WWE is just doing this and that to piss off the smarks. And I'm like, you're doing the exact same thing you're accusing them of. You're hating something just to hate it, just despite yourself and despite them. Well, and first of all, they don't care. They're not really doing anything. They don't care about us. They don't. I mean, they. All right, you know what I mean. Though
we are not their target fan base.
Yeah.
It's obvious.
Well, if that's the case, then they didn't. They kind of hypocritically had that main event do what it did, but that's another story.
And we can get to that because that's weird.
Because if that's the case, if they, then it's bizarre. But anyway.
Well, I mean, I feel like when we were growing up, everything was more geared toward children, like the Hulk Hogan stuff.
Yeah.
You know, when like Hulk Hogan started and slaughtered WrestleMania 7 when Hogan bleeds. Like, granted, it wasn't Roman Reigns' Mask of the Red Death, but
right.
It was still like, but you remember that stuff as a kid. Like, I remember all the times Bret Hart bled in a match because it was few and far between, and it meant something. Now, did it mean something in the Roman Reigns-Brock Lesnar match? What's wrong, Kevin?
I just hit my ankle bone on the fucking leg of the chair, and it kills right now.
Kevin made the face. Kevin's up. He is hobbling. He's walking it off. Walk it off, Dick.
Don't rub it.
Oh, man, Kevin is...
Oh, my God, that hurts.
Man. These are the hazards of recording at the Brown Bear Pub in West Orange, New Jersey. Google them, follow them on Facebook. Great establishment. Greg, the owner, is a great guy, and he kindly turned off the speakers in the back of the restaurant here so we could record about an hour of the show before we head to Tony's for his birthday extravaganza. And if you are listening to this in podcast form, this is a long episode, but we appreciate it. We hope you enjoyed last week's show, The Rock God, Ronnie Burton, who, I don't know if you saw, he was like four seats away from Ronda Rousey at NXT TakeOver.
No, I didn't see.
Yeah, he took a couple pictures of her. Not with her, of her.
You know what? Because I keep... Did you see these on Facebook or Instagram?
Good question. Maybe Facebook?
Well, because Facebook, I didn't... He's not...
Right, his shoot name, right.
Yeah, so his real name. So like, I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, posting all this shit. And I'm like, is this what... Because... Some of these people's names are like, there's one guy who's like named like James McGrady or something, who's just like a weird dude, and then there's this guy. I'm like, is that him? Like, no. And then I clicked on a couple of them and then realized it was the Rock God, Ronnie Burton. So shout out to last week's guest. Hope you had a good time down at WrestleMania weekend. So
where do you want to start? Do you want to start
at
NXT?
I mean,
I did not watch Joey Janela's Spring Break 2, but I heard it was.
Was that on?
Awesome. It was on WWN Live.
Oh, because I don't have that, so I couldn't watch
it.
Heard it was.
You had to buy it though. It wasn't like it was free.
No, no, I know.
It was a pay for a service.
Janela
beat Sasuke. Then they sang Bon Jovi's "This My Life," which is awesome. Pierre beat Walter.
Yeah.
Did you see the pictures of Pierre afterwards?
No.
Bro, his chest was black and blue.
Oh boy.
Bro, he is a monster. People said that was one of the best matches of the weekend. The Clusterfuck Battle Royal was exactly that.
Right. The Grado came back for that, right?
Grado was there. Dickinson came out with a wrestling mask on, smoking a cigar.
Really?
Mikey Whipwreck was involved in it.
Yes, Whipwreck.
The Invisible Man ended up winning.
All right. Dumb question. This is like kind of like when George Costanza asked what goes on at a flea market in Seinfeld. Like, because I'm like George Costanza thinking that they have fleas at the flea market. Is the Invisible Man an Invisible Man?
Yes, that's what it is. It's
nobody?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. What else? David Starr beat
Quack. Do you quack?
And I think that I think that was it, right?
I mean, that's no those were anybody else on the show.
No, that was it. I think it was only five cards.
I mean,
show went on after like at like 1 o'clock in the morning. There were like anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 people there, and they stayed till like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Janela was throwing pile drivers in the streets to fans before.
That's safe.
Which was, you know, because of that whole the Louisiana ban on wrestling moves, or whatever that nonsense was going into WrestleMania, the moves they were banning.
I didn't see that.
So that was pretty funny. Ring of Honor ran Saturday night opposite of NXT. Couple things of note from there. The Briscoes retained. Silas Young beat...
You're going to have to tell me who, because I don't even know who they were.
They beat... Was it Lethal and Tanahashi? I want to say.
All right.
I could be wrong about that, though. I didn't watch it. I only read the results. Silas Young beat Kenny King for the TV title. Austin Aries was there, and then post-match, Beer City Bruiser and Silas put the boots to...
the beats, I like that.
The beats and the boots to Kenny King, and Austin Aries made the save. So the belt collector was there, rocking and rolling.
All right.
Cody beat Kenny. The Young Bucks went to super kick Cody ducked, and they hit Kenny. Ooh. So then Cody hit Crossroads, and that was how he won. Kenny did hit V-Trigger on Brandy through a table, though, so that was pretty cool.
So the Elite is still kind of a thing?
Kenny put something on Twitter. Was it Kenny? Put something on Twitter afterwards where he said, don't care if it's a mistake. You know, I know where they lie now, or something weird like that. There was a lot that happened this weekend, so bear with us. It's hard to...
keep up with everything.
It's not hard to keep up with everything. Well, it's just we have Tony's birthday extravaganza tonight. We're doing this from a bar. I didn't print up notes like I usually do. We're kind of just flying on the seat of our pants here.
That's right.
So this is all from memory, from what I read. So that was Ring of... Oh, and Dalton Castle successfully defended against Marty Scurll in what was an awesome match.
Cool.
Is what I read. So Ring of Honor is firing on all cylinders.
Let me some ROH.
Who doesn't love some ROH? NXT. Will there ever be an NXT takeover card that isn't better than whatever...
The previous one?
No. Not even the previous. Whatever WWE event. Because WrestleMania was not bad.
I thought WrestleMania was fantastic.
If you give it a grade, what would you give it?
B.
The B was... I think that was the consensus. I put a poll up on Twitter.
Maybe B plus.
Yeah, I'd give it a B too.
The only thing I didn't really like and didn't really enjoy was the last match. That was it.
No?
I didn't enjoy it. Anyway, we'll get to that.
NXT TakeOver. It's 3 hours long. Which I was surprised.
That's the first time, right?
Yeah, they usually go 2 hours. And they opened with the ladder match for the North American Championship, which was awesome.
Unbelievable.
And maybe this is the wrestling old person in me. I hate that when someone gets busted open, they are essentially... the camera doesn't go near them, and they get patched up. Because at one point, Velveteen Dream got cut.
Yeah, they still showed him, though.
Yeah, but by the time he was back in the ring, he was already patched up, and you couldn't tell that it was his eye until they got really close to him.
And I think he may have reopened at one point. So he may have been patched up, and what I saw was probably him reopening the wound.
Because they did it to Alexander Wolf in the War Games when he went through the table. And then he was on camera, but his face was in the cage, and they were working on him through the cage, and they never shot it.
See, I don't know if that's... I honestly don't know if that's something that they've chosen to do on their own, or if that's like an athletic commission, and a lot of states just share the same rule that if you're bleeding, you gotta get worked on, or something like that. I don't know if they do it in boxing, or they just wait till the end of the round to do it.
Well, they definitely don't do it in the UFC.
That's true.
Like, they'll wait to the end of the round to work on it, and then it's up to the judge's discretion if the fighter can fight. I don't know, because it's weird
Or the ref.
Yeah.
The ref could stop it
if he deems him unfit to fight. Ladder match, Adam Cole, North American champion, you called it. It really was... I mean, you couldn't go wrong with any of those guys.
No, and, yeah, it was... At every moment in time, you thought that someone had a shot to win it. The crowd loves Velveteen Dream, as they should, because I'm on board now. Lars Sullivan's a monster.
Yeah, he is. So is Killian Dane.
He's also a monster.
Great showing by Ricochet.
Oh, Ricochet was the best. My favorite spot was when he was getting pushed off the ladder.
Yes,
he
did the moonsault.
Outside.
Awesome. I feel like EC3 has lost his edge.
I think it's too soon.
You think so? I just felt like out of all the guys in that match, I was kind of just like, I was kind of like, eh, he looked the best out of all of them.
Right. I think, which is kind of surprising, and then it's, I don't know how to phrase this, that, and I don't know how it's going to come across or how it's going to sound. He should have debuted on the main roster. To me, he's more, like, this is going to be, he's more main roster ready than he is NXT ready, and that's, and it's usually the other way around.
Right.
But EC3 is like a he's a personality. He's a bigger and like personality where, like, Lars Sullivan is a monster. Killian Dane's a monster. Who work well in WWE, but you need him in NXT too.
Right.
Ricochet is the workhorse. He's the man. Like, EC3 is like, I'm a promo. To me, he should have been main roster, and I think he fits better. Just like I do think. Well, I don't think No Way Jose is like the best wrestler. I don't even like him, to be honest with you. But he's main roster.
That's a weird choice.
That's. No, I saw it coming months and months ago. I'm sure it's on the archives of the podcast.
Oh, yes, definitely.
I said it. Listen, No Way Jose is main roster. He's not NXT. Like, he doesn't fit that NXT mold. So that's how I feel about EC3.
Fair enough. Like, I feel like he had the weakest showing in the ladder match, but that's not really his forte.
Yeah.
We talked about it last week. NXT is stacked to the gills, man.
It's very crowded in there. Well, not
holy
so much anymore.
Holy.
It's still pretty crowded.
We haven't even scratched the surface of the Leo Rushes, the Donovan Dijaks.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do with those guys now? You know, all six of those guys in the ladder match.
The UK guys are still hanging around.
The UK guys. Gargano's back.
Yeah.
Shayna Baszler beat Ember Moon.
Another fantastic.
Which I thought was an awesome match.
Loved it.
And you know, I don't really like the women's wrestling.
No, you don't.
All that
You're
much.
You're a misogynistic bastard.
That has nothing to do with that.
Those are two separately.
Yes. But it was a great match. I love the story that they told. Shayna Baszler, she looked great.
She did.
She
looks like a star.
Yeah.
Now, I did not see that. I did not see what happened on Monday Night Raw. I didn't expect to see that.
No, I didn't, you know, but...
But, I mean, looking back, not surprising.
And then after that was the tag match for the Dusty Classic and the Tag Team Championships.
Amazing, too.
Great storytelling. Adam Cole's banged up. So him and Kyle O'Reilly have to defend the titles. Roderick and Pete Dunne and AOP. That's what Roderick Strong is at the end of the day. He is a so much better heel than...
Yeah, okay, is he? I'm not familiar with his heel work.
His heel work in Ring of Honor is awesome. It's almost like... I would compare... It's like Paul Orndorff. Paul Orndorff is an awesome heel. He did the thing with the baby face, and it's like, yes, we're good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I think, like, to me, I look at Roderick Strong, and I'm like, he just got that, like, kind of face that you just, like, I don't hate that fit. Like, he's like a nice guy. And they did the whole thing with the fit, with the family, with his, that whole stuff. Like, how can you hate a guy after that? I don't know. I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying I've never seen that heel.
Oh no, heel Roddy's good.
Yeah.
Heel's Roddy. So Pete Dunne essentially has the match won, and Roddy breaks up the pin, hits him with whatever his move is. Why is it escaping me? The suplex into the
harrowing end.
Whatever. What is it called?
Well,
it's the fucking suplex into the back.
Yeah, it's almost like Cedric Alexander's move.
Yes, the lumbar check.
Yeah.
And then he puts Kyle O'Reilly on Pete Dunne for the win. And then Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, just the facial expressions.
It was awesome.
Oh, Roddy reaching down for Adam Cole. Adam Cole doesn't know what's going on. He rips off the Undisputed Era thing.
All of CM Punk and Wade Barrett.
Yes. Just great stuff. And I think that's a good replacement for Bobby Fish until he heals up, too. Because now it looks like they've defended the tag titles at Axis the next morning.
Roddy and
Kyle O'Reilly.
I like it.
So that's huge.
I think that stable's going to get bigger too. I don't think it's just going to be the four of them.
No.
No. I think you're going to get guys like we mentioned, Dijak and Leo Rush.
I would like Dijak in there.
Dijak.
I'm not a big Leo Rush fan.
All right, that's fine. I mean, I could take him. I like him, but I could take him or leave him. In terms of that.
Yeah. After that was the Aleister Black. See an Almas match. Zelina Vega is... She's the best manager in wrestling right now.
Oh, well,
seriously.
Like, I mean, she is. She
everything she did, like...
She turned that See an Almas character up, like, five different levels.
Absolutely. And even, like, just the little shit, like... Aleister hit the outside, And as soon as the referee turned around, she, like a cat, she was on him. She hit the Hurricanrana. It was just so...
Dude, the best, I think the most impressive thing was how quick she got, Sienna almost his foot on the rope to break.
Yes.
That. Yeah. That was legit.
And I did not see Aleister Black winning the title coming. That is a huge surprise to me.
I don't remember what I said in terms of predictions. I thought I said...
I think you may have. I was predicting that Sienna retained and then Galloway showed up.
Yes. Yeah.
That was my prediction.
Oh, I totally forgot about him. He's still around too, right? Yeah.
Holy moly, free holy. So Aleister Black is your new NXT champion. That's huge.
Yep.
And then the unsanctioned Gargano Ciampa match was unfucking real.
Arguably one of the best finishes
in wrestling. Fucking believable. Ever. They beat the piss out of each other too.
And that's what's so great about NXT, and WWE does it too to an extent, is that you have that ladder match. Everyone said amazing, fantastic match. And then you have a guy like Aleister Black and Cien Almas, you have a completely different match. And you know, Gargano and Ciampa have a completely different match. And an Ember Moon and Shayna Baszler. Like, every match is amazing and could be the match of the night, but everyone's different. And it's just so good to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very refreshing.
As opposed to everyone bitches about every match is the same, doing the same shit, this and that. I'm like, well, watch NXT. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was absolutely awesome. And once again, I don't think... I'd have to go back and look. Like, when was the last time? Like, I get it. It's WrestleMania. It's the biggest show of the year. But I feel like the NXT show was better. Not by leaps and bounds.
Better?
But it was better. And I don't think there's ever been an NXT takeover show that goes before SummerSlam, Money in the Bank, whatever, where it doesn't deliver.
No, I mean, that's a part of that has got to be the guys behind the scenes pushing them and telling them and being like, this is what you got to do. And it's just good coaching, just like any sport.
Yeah.
Like, you want to play, you want to make it here, put on a better show than the guy spot you want.
Do you think it's because Triple H is running it down there?
Oh, it's Triple H. It's
because
Albert.
Do you think it starts
with Triple H.
It's his mindset where he's maybe, you know, like you hear all these stories about Vince through like a Bruce Pritchard podcast or a shoot interview, and it kind of seems like Vince is kind of just like. He's set in his ways.
Of course.
Is that safe to say? And you've heard, you know, stuff on Bruce's, and I brought up before where someone just says something jokingly about a character or a gimmick, and Vince's, yeah, I love it, let's do it. And then you're like, what?
Yeah.
What? Are you fucking serious? And I think with Triple H down there, he's more of an old school guy.
Yeah.
And he's all about telling the story, and he surrounded himself.
But he's not completely oblivious to some of the things that made Vince McMahon amazing.
Right, of course. I mean, look, you'd be stupid to say Vince McMahon isn't amazing, but I just think it's...
Like, Triple H also brought us guys, like, who have been great, but at the time, everyone groaned about. Like, Authors of Pain. Like, No Way Jose.
Right.
Like, even, like, you want to bring... Like, Lars Sullivan didn't fit the mold when you saw him. Like, he didn't fit what NXT was used to with Austin Aries and Bobby Roode and Samoa Joe and Finn. So, like, he does know how to stray away from, like, that indie darling.
Right. Well, you got to pick your spot. You got to pick your spot.
And that's why NXT is so great, because it's a mixture of everything.
Yes.
And that's what you have to do. He has the workhorses. He has the guys that are super talented, that have personality, that they may not have gotten out of the indies, and now they do in NXT. So, again, NXT, while WrestleMania was a solid B show, maybe B+, NXT's A+.
Absolutely. It seems like all the time. Even when you look at, and we've been down this road, we look at the card, and on paper, just you're like, I don't know about this.
And I said that.
We do it all the time.
Yeah.
We do it all the time. And then you watch it, and you're like, holy shit. Did you watch Mania Live?
No.
No. Me either.
Well, Live at Jace, to quote Peter Rosenberg, I watched it on Sunday night, but... Like, while it was still on, I did watch from the beginning,
okay.
So I didn't watch it. And then I had to watch... I fell asleep right before AJ Styles and Shinsuke, so I had to watch those matches after that the next day.
Okay. 7 hours is a fucking long time, man. For anything.
It is.
Which is why I like watching it on network, because you can fast-forward the videos, the commercials, the goofy
shit. Yeah, if you don't have the time, then yeah, for sure.
It's not even a time. I mean, I get it. I gear into the entrances and stuff. I could give or take, you know?
I love the entrances.
Especially at WrestleMania. They do a great job, but for the most part, I don't know. Pre-show was whatever.
I watched the pre-show live. I watched not the pre-show. I watched the men's battle royal live, just because, you know, Ryder, Hawkins,
right?
Those guys run it. So
Mike Bennett was there. R-Truth was there.
Bennett was there.
You saw a lot of faces you hadn't seen in a while. Matt Hardy ends up winning with the help of Bray Wyatt.
Right.
Which they even the announcers seemed confused about, because they Bray was never in the match, but they thought he was.
Yeah, something was a little off at the end. I noticed that too.
So he has the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal Cup, whatever the fuck they're calling it. I feel like they put a lot more stock into the Women's Rumble
in terms of like actual quality of the match.
Yeah,
yeah. Women's Rumble was better than the men's.
And that was won by Naomi, which was
they did the whole. See, that's one thing I don't like though. The whole she's on the outside for a while and comes back. They've done it a million times.
They did it at the Women's Royal Rumble. That's what they did with all of them. They'd have a big spot. Well, people would roll out of the ropes, and then they would land. And then you're watching it. You're trying to keep track. And you're like, did someone just get eliminated? Where is so-and-so? And you just find out they slid under the bottom rope, or they went through the middle, and they're just taking a rest.
It's like their favorite thing to do. Like, because, you know, even going back to 95, like, Shawn Michaels was... I mean, granted, he wasn't out on the ground. He was dangling, so that's different. But, like, you know, like, I remember a Raw where they were trying to find a new GM, and the Sandman had one, but Regal was on the outside. Regal comes in, and he throws him out.
Right. Wasn't
And Santino Marella with Alberto Del Rio.
Oh, and they won the 40-man, right?
Yeah.
And then Rusev
was one of those, too.
Was that the Roman Reigns one?
Yeah.
Or Batista?
No, it was...
It was Roman, wasn't it? In Philly? Pittsburgh?
No, because Roman was the whole Rock and... Oh, yes, it was, because that was the whole Rock and Kane and Big Show thing. Then the Rock comes out.
Afterwards, right? To give him the rub after he won.
No, it wasn't after. It was during the match. Or was it after?
I don't know.
Maybe it was after. Because then Rusev comes in, Roman eliminates him, and then Big Show and Kane come back in, and then Rock comes out to save him?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't know. So yeah, whatever. Cedric Alexander won the Cruiserweight title.
Fun match. Good match.
Fun match. Yeah. Not the best that they had done. You know, leading up to this, a lot of the matches on 205 Live I thought were a lot better. But the future of 205 Live is looking great with Cedric as the champion. You know, with what they with Drew and Mustafa Ali, you know, there's definitely going to be a storyline there that will probably start tonight where he's going to chase after that. So that should be good. Shit, what kicked off Mania? Oh my God, my brain just stopped working.
Was a triple threat match for the Intercontinental title.
Yes. I did see Seth Rollins' intro with his blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That was fucking cool. And Finn did the cool thing with the lesbian, gay, community, lesbian, gay, bisexual, community, LGBC? Is that a thing?
LGBQT.
Q. What's the Q stand for?
CT.
What?
Because I just had this conversation at work the other day, because they added two more...
Numbers? Letters?
Letters to it.
Holy moly for holes.
My lieutenant was telling me...
All right, well, anyway, he came out with his Finn Balor's for Everybody shirt.
L-G-B-C... No, Q.
Q.
T. For questioning, that's what it is. Not curious. Oh, questioning.
Really?
Yeah. Q is for questioning.
Questioning
like
what?
It's like when you don't know what you are or how you
Holy
identify.
Holy Jesus Christ.
And the T is Transformers.
Transgender? Transsexual?
No, that's bisexual. Transformer.
Transformer. Questioning Transformers. Lesbians, gays,
bisexual, questioning Transformers.
Oh, okay, of course. Why is Marky Wahlberg there?
Yeah, but it's a whole
Why is his daughter so thing. Hot?
Yeah.
Would he sleep with his daughter?
It's very bizarre.
Yeah, I get you. What do you think of the triple threat?
Oh, it's the work. I love it.
Awesome.
There's not... Like I said, the only match on the show I didn't care for was the main event.
Seth walks out, IC champion. He's a grand champion, grand slam.
He's the TNA grand champion.
He's the grand slam. TNA is hiring.
TNA is hiring.
You didn't know.
Grand champion.
He's the grand slam champion. I just said grand champion. Jesus Christ. Fuck. All right. So that happened. That was good. After that was, shit.
We don't have to go in order.
No, that's true. We don't have to go in order. Charlotte beat Asuka. To break the streak. Awesome match.
That could be match of the night for me.
Told a great story. And like I said last week, you back yourself into a corner. Okay, so Asuka, what if Asuka does beat Charlotte? Now she's still undefeated. It's almost like the Goldberg streak. Where?
That's what I'm saying.
Whatever you do, there's no right answer. There's no right way to do it. She has to lose eventually.
Right, and the whole thing is like, I guarantee you, none of these streaks started with the intention of it being a streak.
Right.
So it's not like they did this whole thing for 3 years. Like, it didn't start, like, I can't guarantee, obviously. But I'm pretty sure, just like the Undertaker streak wasn't intentional.
Right.
Just like Goldberg streak may or may not have been intentional, but I don't think it was at first.
Well, when they started spouting off, like, 52-0, yeah, it was nowhere near that. So,
I mean, eventually it was, but they don't start that way.
No.
So, yeah, they keep bringing up... I said this a million times. They love stats. They're like... They're kind of like, you know... What's the baseball... What do they call that shit?
Where
they...
Statcast?
No, not Statcast. Like, Genix... what's it called? The fucking Moneyball movie was about it. What the fuck did this... Cybermetrics?
There you go.
Sabermetrics.
I was drawing a blank. I'm in wrestling mode right now.
So, it's like... They love touting numbers. Like... Watch any Royal Rumble. Every single number, every single person that comes out, it's not about, well, this guy has a shot, this is that.
Right, it's about the number, this guy has a story.
The number. So they're about numbers for some reason, and I'll never be able to wrap my head around it. And then they'll make up numbers just to fit their narrative. Like, they'll straight up freaking lie to you just to fit their story.
Right.
So I mean, what are we talking about? How did Asuka start losing to Charlotte. So, listen, it didn't start that way. Asuka, and people underestimate, people that complain about this, that Asuka should do this, underestimate how fucking elite Charlotte is.
Right.
And it pisses me off. Like, listen, you built up Asuka for this. What do you think they've been doing with Charlotte on SmackDown?
Right.
What the fuck do you think they've been doing with her? So, she's as main event as main event comes in wrestling. So, Asuka losing to her at WrestleMania in the match of the night, and you're complaining about it? Fuck out of here.
Yeah, people complain.
Fuck out of here.
Okay,
we're in a restaurant to make sure there's no kids or...
Look, I would rather have it be clean like that and tell a story. Right. Because, look, you got to realize, WrestleMania isn't the end. Like, we have another chapter now. Like, they're writing a new chapter. WrestleMania's over. And, like, look, AJ Shinsuke, right? Everyone was looking for Wrestle Kingdom quality. They were looking for this. Wrestling fans, we set the bar so fucking high.
Yeah.
Right? But that's not what it was. Like, the match was good, but it wasn't as good as it can be. Fair enough. That's fine.
We also don't know. I'm sorry to cut you off. We don't know if AJ was completely over his
injury. Right.
And sometimes, like, I like that. I mean, I don't want wrestling fans to be disappointed with anything unless you're just a mark, and then you deserve to be disappointed all the fucking time. But just because they didn't give you what you thought doesn't mean that what they gave you wasn't good. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you thought you were going to... I don't know what they thought. They got a great match.
People set these expectations so high. And the match was overshadowed by the ending. Shinsuke Nakamura low-blowing AJ Styles and turning heel is fucking amazing.
Brilliant. And I'm nitpicking here. I think when you use the word overshadowed, I think that's the wrong word. I agree with you. And just like the ending, the post-match of Asuka and Charlotte was amazing. Like, don't underestimate.
Well, that was overshadowed by John Cena getting a message and running away.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That was 100% overshadowed.
That happened there.
At the end of that match.
I forgot about that. But didn't Asuka take the mic and be like, Charlotte was ready for Asuka, didn't she say that?
Alright. And her terrible English that they couldn't edit out of WrestleMania. Unlike Natty's coot shot.
Yeah, we have to talk about that. We'll talk about that with Tony.
When her pants are
up. Save that for Tony talk.
Her little coochie cooch came out.
Coochie cooch. But like, that moment was amazing. Like, I'm sorry, sometimes we're in the bar / restaurant and there's music playing and sometimes it stops and then I don't realize how loud I'm talking and I always have to check and make sure there aren't people around. The match was fantastic. The AJ Shinsuke didn't overshadow it. It just made it that much better.
Furthered the story.
It furthered it.
There we go. That's better. Instead of overshadow.
And Shinsuke is, I can already see him as a top heel. I can already see it.
Well, he was a heel in New Japan, yeah. And he was amazing. And yeah. If you're not familiar with it, go Google it, look it up, instead of going on fucking Twitter and pissing and moaning about everything. Do some research, know what the fuck you're watching, people. All right, we're back. A pee break, drink break.
That's right. Don't have the luxury of going live yet here.
I could have spit fired for a couple minutes. Probably not.
I don't know why I told you to pause it.
Well, we can't go back now, Kevin.
That's true. I guess just because we can.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, and I wasn't sure if maybe you had to pee.
No, I'm good. I'll pee before we leave. Before we go to Studio A for Tony's birthday extravaganza. Which, if you are listening in podcast form, you may already know the guests by the description, but it is a rip-roaring cast tonight. We hope you enjoy every second of it. Back to WrestleMania. Ronda, Kurt Angle against Triple H, Stephanie.
How embarrassing is it for me that I forgot that this was, like, talking here. I was like, I didn't realize this was a thing until I saw that picture.
So you saw that picture? I guess I owe an apology to Ronda Rousey. She exceeded my expectations at WrestleMania. And she did an awesome job.
It was amazing. That match was fantastic.
The match was fantastic. They told a great story. Stephanie blocking the armbar for as long as she did, and then Ronda finally getting it. It was just great. And Ronda going toe-to-toe with Triple H was cool. It was just cool. And I was against it 100%. I thought Ronda Rousey was goofy. Everything she did going up to this point, I felt like she was goofy. Your face is goofy. But
you're a goof.
She exceeded my expectations, and I was happy. I was very happy with that match.
The match was so much fun. Everything about it was good. And as my good friend KP Burke said, that Ronda Rousey's got quite the little tushy on her.
She does, and Stephanie looked great. I don't care what Tony says about her cavernous breast area. Stephanie looks awesome.
So, nothing but, again, as close to, maybe not 5-star in terms of, but just as a great, fun match. And it did its job.
The Bludgeon Brothers captured the WWE SmackDown Championship tag titles.
Giant, stupid foam Thor. Oh, it's such a shame. Fucking stupid.
I was happy to see Luke Harper and Eric Rowan finally get their due. I mean, I feel like that's been something that should have happened a long time ago, but they both...
They never held the belts, did they?
No. Maybe? As the Wyatts? No?
I don't know if they did.
I know. Both of them always hurt so often.
Yeah.
Maybe they had a cup of coffee as the champs?
I don't remember. But I think actually, like... One of them held it, but with somebody else. I don't know why I'm thinking that.
Was it Luke Harper and Randy Orton? Was that a thing?
Yeah, it was. Yes.
But that was a thing, no?
That's it, yes.
Okay.
When Randy Orton joined
last
the
year WrestleMania,
family.
Right?
Orton and yes. And,
okay,
and
that
Luke
was
Harper
thing, right?
Were the tag champs, yes.
What did you think of the John Cena Undertaker thing?
I can already tell by your demeanor I thought it was fine.
I thought it was fine.
Yeah, okay.
I think both guys, people on Twitter were like, this is what you waited for. They buried him. You can't bury someone who's a 17-time champion in the face of the company.
Yeah.
They're two legends.
And it's so funny. I read the certain people's blogs and their things, and I'm reading it, and it's like verbatim what I'm thinking in my head. It's like John Cena came out and trashed him for weeks and weeks and weeks. Like, Undertaker should be pissed off. Undertaker
right.
should come back and beat the shit out of John Cena. And he did.
And he did.
And he can.
And it only leads to maybe another John Cena Undertaker match at WrestleMania next year.
Or SummerSlam, maybe, if
right.
you want to build that up.
And everyone's always like, John Cena takes everybody's spot. John Cena buries everyone. John Cena doesn't do that. John Cena helps elevate people. And in this situation he was put in, what?
I mean, a little bit. He does a little of both.
He doesn't write the book, though. All right, well, but it's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But in this situation, it's legend versus legend. There's nothing at stake here. The winner doesn't get a shot at Brock. The winner doesn't get the main event. It's Raw, whatever. There was nothing on the line. It was a WrestleMania marquee match. It was what WrestleMania was built around, these dream matches.
Yeah, and I loved that you didn't know it was going to happen. That's just as intense of a build than knowing the match is going to happen. Because WrestleMania, like we always say every year, as cliche as it gets, WrestleMania sells itself.
Right, exactly.
So, like, not teasing it, and not knowing whether or not it's going to happen, to me is just as significant as a build as just saying it's going to happen a month out.
Right.
So, and you're going to have to excuse us. We picked this, if you can hear that, we picked a seat by right by the
kitchen.
I think
kitchen. It's okay. When we recorded something we said at the bar last time, you could hear stuff in the background, but it's not super audible, so whatever.
It's pretty loud.
Yeah, it could be worse. It could be Studio A or Studio B with the microphone or the
someone's getting hosed out there.
The clicking.
Hosing down the hogs.
That's it. We're good. I wouldn't worry about it. We got a couple more minutes left before we gotta head to Tony's anyway. What else? What else are we missing? Oh, the US title match, Jinder Mahal.
Wow.
Didn't see that coming.
Just like Randy Orton's RKO out of nowhere.
There you go, out of nowhere. Braun picks a kid out of the crowd. Goofy as fuck. But I mean, it was over, and people had a good time with it on Twitter.
Have you seen Blue Meanie's posts? Go on Facebook and go to Blue Meanie's posts. They're hysterical.
Yeah,
they're absolutely, and they're one after the other. They just don't stop. It was
just so you know, Nicholas is now an answer to a WWE trivia question. It used to be Rene Dupree as the youngest champion, and now it is Nicholas at 10 years old. Who happened to be? He was a referee's kid, right? John Cohen's kid.
I've seen reports that he was one of Shane's kids, or also one of John, the referee's
kid. Needs a fucking haircut. I'll tell you that right now.
I don't know because people are posting pictures. Remember that picture of the McMahon family with Trump?
Yeah.
And he's circled.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah, but for all I know, it could just be two kids with shaggy long hair.
Right. Like
it's 2018.
Tony's birthday extravaganza picture is me, you, and Tony around Dixie Carter, and I've never been around Dixie Carter, but people can do some pretty crazy stuff.
All right, so. Nicholas' match was an instant classic. 4 gold stars. Dave Meltzer.
There you go. Meltzer loves giving away the stars.
No, but you know, like gold, like, because right. Like, it's what you get on your papers.
Yes,
and
I get it. Okay. I get it.
Hold on. All right, we got it. Hold on. Just finished an in-depth documentary about Nicholas called Wrestling with Shadow Puppets. Wrestling with Shadows.
I get it, Kevin.
These are good. I know. All right, let's go. Move on.
I get it. They're okay.
Come on, what do we got? Let's move on then.
We're on the main. I think we've covered. Oh, Nia Jax beats Alexa Bliss.
Awesome.
Nia Jax looks like $1 million, by the way.
Yep.
I don't give a shit what Tony says. Fat, shaming piece of shit that Tony is. And I think, you know, that was the right. You know, now we can. Obviously, we see what happened on Raw. Go ahead, read it. Kevin's laughing at Facebook.
Just ordered a Nicholas Naptime 316 PM t-shirt.
Jesus Christ.
I just pre-ordered the Rise and Fall of Nicholas at WWE Shop.
It's very short.
Fucking Blue Meanie.
And then we got to the main event, right? I think we covered everything.
Yeah, sure. Good enough for me.
Brock retains against Roman Reigns in a very bad match.
Just boring. Just not the
pacing.
Not the story they should have told. We've seen it. It's just Brock.
We've seen it all, Brock.
Just to throw around this and that, Superman punch, suplexes.
I gotta ask this, right? When did Brock Lesnar get so good at fucking busting people open?
That was legit.
It looks like he hit him with an elbow on his head, like hard as fuck. Like he did it to Randy. Like, what's that conversation like?
I don't know. That was a lot of fucking blood.
Yeah, it was. Oh, he got him good. It was good. It was on the that was Muda scale esque.
That was a lot of blood.
Very surprised that Brock retained. I think a lot of people were, but I think that makes a lot of people happy. Which, whatever. You don't like Roman Reigns.
Yeah, but here's the thing with that, and I read an interesting article at PW Insider about it. Like, if WWE keeps saying, like, or the assumption is that they don't market to us. They market to kids. That's who they're thinking. And we always complain, like, stop complaining, guys. It's not about you anymore. So, like, Roman Reigns wins. Don't bitch, because, again, it's not about us. But then WWE does this and completely goes against who they're marketing towards.
Do you think they did it to throw a curveball? Because everybody was under the assumption that it was Roman Reigns walking out. Like, we sat there Tuesday and we all thought.
I don't know. I'm not going to pretend. I don't know.
Because Brock's. At the time, Brock's contract is up in the air. There's talk that he's going back to UFC, especially with UFC and Conor pulling that WWE bullshit Thursday.
Yeah. I honestly don't know what to think because now we're going to have the same thing that we had this past year. I guarantee you, the next pay-per-view is in Newark on May 6th.
Right.
Brock's probably not going to be on it.
No, well, Brock and Roman in the cage at the Greatest Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's probably getting a freaking huge fucking paycheck for that.
They all are. It's a huge show.
But, like, to get Brock Lesnar to go to Saudi Arabia, you know how much they probably have to pay him? Like,
that motherfucker doesn't go anywhere at any time. He's going to do whatever that fucking $3 million contract he's got where he wrestles six times a year. If that's one of the times, he's going to... He's gonna have Sable do a number on him before he goes. He's gonna sleep on the plane and he'll be good to go when he wakes up in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, he probably has his own plane, I bet.
It wouldn't surprise me. Raw after Mania, let's run out of that real quick because we are up against the clock. We're gonna try and get to Tony's.
Yeah, we don't have to go over everything, just the notable things.
Bobby Lashley's back.
Yep, Paige.
Paige retired, which I put something on Twitter too. All those people with their thank you pages and I'm going to miss you are the same motherfuckers that were the first to post the leaked videos and photos. It's so fucking hypocritical. And I'd be a liar to say I didn't watch the videos or look at the photos.
I watched a little bit of it.
Right? But I didn't put it on Twitter. I didn't put it on social media. You know, it's out there. I looked at it. But all those people who are like, thank you, Paige. You mean so much to me. You're the same fucking people. I guarantee you are the same people who were sending the videos and the photos to people in messages.
Yep. I couldn't tell you the last time I was on Twitter. I think today was all the last time. But before that.
Right? Just stop. Paige, it's a terrible story. It's unfortunate, but...
And then you read the tweets of people that matter, like Bailey and Sasha and Natty, and they put her over, like... She did so much.
In a short time, yeah.
In a short time. Absolutely, It's like, whatever, good for her, whatever. She made a little nudie video. Who cares? Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. She's not the first. She won't be the last. Yeah. But all those people who try and play like, oh, she meant the world to me, like, you were the first motherfuckers that put it out there, I guarantee you.
Attention-craving...
Authors of Pain, they showed up. A lot of people were upset at the way they kind of dismissed Paul Ellering.
Which, again...
But I think, look, they just kind of were like...
They're bad guys.
Yes, people. And when the story gets told, it's, we used you to get us to this platform. Yeah. We don't need you anymore.
And do you think Paul Ellering wants to work a full schedule?
He doesn't. I think that's the reason why. But, you know, in the story, if it becomes a story, it's, we used you to get here.
I don't know where he lives, but I would put smart money on that he lives in Florida.
And so wouldn't surprise me.
So yeah, NXT is a layup, it's right? Fine.
Because you tape 4 weeks at a time, and then you show up at one major city once every couple months.
Like, he wasn't at the house show in Tom's River, so he doesn't... It's not like... Yeah. You think he wants to go to fucking, you know, Bumblefuck?
He doesn't want to go to Birmingham, New York for a fucking house show, no.
Poughkeepsie.
Jose showed up with the Rosebuds.
God.
Weird.
I saw it coming.
Bobby Lashley's back.
Bobby Lashley. Samoa Joe returned.
Samoa Joe came back.
Jeff Hardy came back.
Jeff Hardy's back. So a lot going on. Kurt Angle makes the TNA remark, which was very funny.
That's funny.
Didn't see that coming. I'm gonna play
the guy that I hate. I'm gonna play Smarty Mark. It hasn't been TNA in years.
No.
So like, are they really hiring?
No, I think it was a joke.
I know, I get it. But, I mean, it was good. Don't get me wrong, I popped for it.
And Sammy and Kevin ended in a double count. They were both out. So double count out, whatever it's called. Both knocked down.
So they'll both be on Raw.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens there.
It's a tag team. Matt Hardy, Bray Wyatt stuff is... They're doing that weird... Oh, and as soon as Nicholas and Braun win, forfeit they forfeit the belts.
Yeah. Nicholas has some scheduling conflicts.
That's right. I'm not going to lie.
It's funny stuff. So, we got that going on.
A couple matches announced for Backlash. We're back to seeing maybe the Intercontinental title being the top belt now that Brock is still the champ.
Right.
So you have Seth Rollins versus Miz at Backlash. You have, or Fastlane, whatever it's called.
It's Backlash. Backlash. Yes, Fastlane is fine.
And you already have Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe. So they're going to load up the card with matches not involving your top belt.
Well, it's also brand. It's the first.
Also, you know, you'll have AJ on it probably. You'll probably have AJ and Shinsuke. Okay. Yeah. All right, that's fine. I'll take it back.
Other news and notes, Alberto El Patron is no longer with Impact. He no-showed their big Twitch Lucha Underground show.
There's worries that he might no longer be with us in general.
Yeah. So they made the main event. They switched it to Pentagon, Phoenix, and Austin Aries Three-Way Dance at Impact. April 22nd, Redemption, I think, is the name of the pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's going to be a rematch of the Lucha...
Lucha Underground Impact show. Sammy Callahan beat... Eddie Edwards.
Eddie's fully good to go.
Fully good to go. He beat him. They were going to do the bat spot again. Don Callis came out and threw in the towel.
That's cool.
And then Don Callis went on Twitter and said, you know, you're only getting a paycheck from or no, you're using us to get a paycheck from Rockstar Pro and another promotion that he works for. And Sami Callihan said, I don't give a shit, fucking fire me, or let me keep this dead company alive or something. He put something on Twitter. So they're really using...
I like it.
I love it. I love it. What Impact is doing. And so they're killing it. SmackDown Live is tonight, Tuesday night. If you're listening to this podcast form, it might be already over. 205 Live makes its first appearance. We got a brand shakeup next week, right?
Superstar shakeup.
So we'll cover that next week. We are on our way out now. We're going to go down to Studio A for Tony's birthday extravaganza, where we have a plethora of superstars and friends calling in. Andre the Giant's tonight on HBO.
Yes.
10 o'clock.
So I hope they replay it.
Oh, they absolutely will. It'll be on demand, too.
That's what I'm hoping. It'll be on demand?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be on demand. They'd be stupid not to run it on demand.
We're not going
to
make it live.
No, definitely not. So that's it. We're going to peace out. And
I'm sure we'll touch on some of this stuff again. So, again, if you're hearing the same thing twice, we want to get Tony's take on it, too, if you have the chance.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but... hopefully we don't. That means everyone calls in on time and we stick to the format.
Let's hope so. We are on our way to Studio A. We'll see you guys in a little bit.
Bye.
See ya. Playing the intro. We are live, episode 365.
Wow, you went live cold?
Fuck yeah, I went live cold.
Tony!
It's Tony's birthday extravaganza.
It's my birthday.
Right, don't be obnoxious. All right, we got
it is
Kevin's
his birthday.
Here.
It is his birthday.
What's up, Kevin?
We really can't tell him not to be obnoxious.
Dude, all right, fair enough.
I feel weird because I'm sitting in Matt's seat tonight because Matt's in the driver's seat because he doesn't want me to be surprised. It's fucking weird.
Wait, no, he wants you to be surprised.
You to be surprised.
He just wants me to be
Dicko.
A dick. There you go. It's weird sitting up here. I don't think I've ever done the show from the couch before.
Well, you didn't have to. There's a chair right there.
Well, but I mean, I don't know. I feel like we don't spend enough time together, Kevin.
Oh, that's fair.
Well, before our first caller, and we have 9 total phone calls tonight.
Woohoo!
Plus, you never know what me and Kevin might finagle.
On my 75th birthday extravaganza.
That's right.
Can you please explain the picture?
Okay. So,
the picture of the... of what picture?
The family portrait
the
from
family.
Disney World. Okay. So, me and the wife and the kid, we were trying to get a picture with one of the Disney photographers, right? And for some reason, at this moment, everybody felt the need to start walking through the shot. Now, there's literally 4 feet between the photographer and us, and 2 people walk through, and the guy sets, and another 3 people walk through, and the guy sets, and another 4 people walk through. Now, unfortunately for this family that was walking by, I had enough, so I was like, whoa, 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 and the guy on the right of the picture was like, I'm sorry, man, I'm sorry. I'm like, well, great, now I feel like a fucking tool bag, because the one guy I stopped is really contrite about stopping. He didn't tell me to go fuck myself and keep walking. So they took pictures of us real quick, and him and his family standing off to the side, and part of the family's on the other side. I said, you know what? Come on, everybody in the picture. And lo and behold, every single one of them ran into the picture, and we got a whole group shot together. And it was beautiful.
Very beautiful. Very
I
beautiful
loved it, dude.
Picture.
Except, did you notice the little girl in the front? Like, she did not want to be in this picture with us.
Can you blame her?
Everybody else was happy, dude. Did you see the smiles I put on people's faces?
Did you have to pay for that picture?
Well, we bought the, they call it the photo pass. So you pay one price, and then all the photographers in the park...
They throw in a picture with a complimentary black family.
Well, there you go. Oh, shit.
Oh, here we go.
I meant to take that audio off, so that's going to be a little obnoxious.
Joining us now on the Shining Wizards Network, or podcast, Jesus
Hot
Christ.
Candy Hot Talk.
Hold on. It's your boy.
J. George.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Oh, dude.
Thank you for joining us today.
Oh, man.
You know, I don't want to cut you off, but let me just throw this out there real quick. Like, I was actually thinking about you today and your hookup with Bret Hart. We need to have you on the show proper for an interview, dude. You've been blowing up lately. No. We want to get you out there, man. We want to let people know all about the J. George.
Yo, that's funny. I was thinking the same thing. I've seen a lot of great luminaries to come through the studio, and I'd love to, like you said, be on the show something proper.
That would be awesome.
Well overdue. Well, long overdue, because, I mean, you guys have done so much for me and my career, and obviously, you know, having my connection with Bret Hart certainly helped my relationship with the show. But the reason, I mean, it's all about the reason I'm calling today is for Tony's birthday, and I'd be amiss. Amiss? Is that the amiss?
Remiss.
I'd be amiss.
Remiss.
Remiss.
I'd be. What's the word I'm thinking of? I'd
remissed.
What?
Remissed.
I'd be remissed?
Yes.
If I would be remissed.
Dummy.
I don't know.
Close enough.
I would be remissed if I didn't.
Right? That's the word,
right? Call in and wish Tony a very happy birthday. Are you kidding me?
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it. Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
What's going on with Tier 1? Have you heard anything lately?
Well, it's the big... I'll tell you this. What's that feedback? I'm hearing my voice. Listen, I'll tell you this much, though. Ever since that incident, and I find it so funny, they were like, you'll never see J. George in a Tier 1 ring again. Well, you ended up never seeing Tier 1 in a New York City arena or venue ever again, ever since that show. You haven't seen Dennis ever since that show. I've been on plenty of shows in New York City since. He told me my career was going down the toilet. I ain't no good. And I tell you what, right after that, I did one of my first international dates up in Canada, and I went back out to Rockstar Pro. I did freelance in Chicago. I kept the ball rolling, and that's a big saying I learned from the Shining Wizards, because you get hit with a couple of snowballs, but it's okay because it's almost summertime.
There you go.
I love this guy. I love this guy so much, and I threw that out there just to get you fired up, man. I know I didn't have to do that, but that's awesome. That's awesome.
I love it.
So let me ask you a question.
What do you guys got cooking for your birthday, man?
That's a surprise, man. You're the kickoff, dude. You're the opener, and this has been a killer opener. I don't know who's going to be able to follow this, but let me ask you a question. You're a Jersey guy, right?
Yes, sir.
I want to ask everybody a little silly question tonight. You want a hamburger? You want a hot dog? Where's your place to go in the Jersey?
So they had a cool. They had like. We still get food trucks sometimes here. Like, not like the fancy schmancy gourmet food trucks. We get like the hey, these guys are working construction down the street, and we got a little food truck for them. And they usually have pretty good hot dogs here. Hamburgers. I mean, I know White Manna is like pretty. I mean, if you're from Jersey, right, you got to know about White Manna, or
of
no?
Of course. Yep.
These guys been to White Manna, right?
Fuck yeah, dude.
Ding.
Yeah. No, that's a great slider spot. But I mean, burgers, I don't know, man. Can I be honest? I feel like they're a dime a dozen. And last night I had a sourdough burger from Burger King at the Tom Wilson rest stop in off exit 7. So I don't know. I can't even.
Now you have diarrhea.
Oh, wait, you know what I like? You know what I like? I like the Habit, even though I don't know. I don't think that's like a Jersey thing. But
no,
the Habit,
I have one by me.
Yeah, they're in Jersey, them and Five Guys. I mean, that's the type of stuff I like. Why, do you guys have, like, a particular Jersey spot for burgers I don't know about?
Nah, man, White Man is the place to go. White Man is definitely the place to go. I'm so glad to hear you say that, too, man. Glad to see you on the same page. Well, I have to wrap them up? I thought this was my show.
Well, you got to thank him, don't you?
Well, all right. Well, I don't know. Everybody's giving me the fucking whoop-de-doo over here. So, J. George, I'm sorry, man, but listen, I'll be in touch. We will get you on the show proper. I meant that when I said it earlier. I appreciate you calling in for my birthday. Thank you so much. Thank you for everything you've done for professional wrestling, and thank you for representing the great state of New Jersey. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, and very happy birthday to you, Tony, and to you guys for hosting them. I don't know what the hell I'm saying anymore. Thank you guys so much for having me on, even though it was the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal spot this time. I know next time I'll be on the show something proper. But you guys enjoy, man. Have a good time. Don't do anything too bad now, right?
Thanks, Jay George. Peace.
Thank you, Jay George.
Thanks, man.
Have a good one, guys.
I didn't mean to hang up on him. Next on the Shining Wizards Hotline, joining us for Tony's birthday extravaganza, the one and only Cauliflower Brown.
Woohoo! What's up, Mr. Brown?
Getting ready to get supple at the gym here. Thought I'd give you a little biz earth the kids all.
That's fucking awesome, dude. Thank you so much. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do I look as old as I sound? I didn't mean to put him on the spot. Don't hurt yourself, brother.
No.
Colin, did we lose you? Are you there?
No, he's here. He's okay. I thought he was thinking. Maybe he's not thinking. Maybe he's thinking, what the fuck did I get myself into?
Wait, did you not hear me?
No, we didn't, actually. You cut out for a second.
Oh, Lord. I don't know what's going on around here. I don't think you look that old. Why would you?
He looks like he's 75. You got to see on, when he puts the glasses on to read the news and notes that he writes. It's pretty rough.
Well, thankfully, I didn't have to write anything today. This is awesome.
Mr. Brown, how are you, man? How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I got to get myself rolled out and stretched and whatnot. I'm a little tight in the hips and shoulder area. I wrestled that Fred Yeha on Saturday night and did a number on me. I'll tell you.
I've called a few of Fred's matches. He's a tough son of a bitch, man. What was that like?
Oh, it was a hell of a time. You know, we were in the ring and then we were out of it, and you know, 1 minute I'd be on my feet and then another minute I'd be on my back. It was a wild thing, man. And then not many other guys will do this to you in there, but every now and again I'd just be, you know, hanging out on the mat and that motherfucker would stomp my hand.
Oh yeah, that's what he's known for.
Yeah, dude. I should have scouted more tape. I didn't see it coming.
Well, you talk about scouting tape, and you did something interesting almost a day ago. You made yourself a little YouTube video. You called out the NWA World's Champion. Is that the grand prize right now for Cauliflower Brown?
Well, to be honest, I had a fan comment on one of my interviews online that I should challenge for the, you know, NWA World's Heavyweight Championship. And when I started thinking about it, I said, you know, I should challenge for the NWA World's Championship. Cause I hear that Nick Aldis is on this, you know, conquest tour or whatever. And, crusade or, you know, whatever the fuck. And I was just like, well, maybe I'll just make an open challenge. And, you know, that Billy Corgan, since he owns the thing, I thought, well, you know, maybe I'd just do it to the tune of a Smashing Pumpkins song. And, you know, so I did it. And I thought it was great. But, I hadn't heard hide nor hair of Billy Corgan or Nick Aldis. So you go tell me.
I got a question for you, Cauliflower. I had the privilege of calling one of your matches when you worked last summer for Tier 1 up here in New York. I gotta ask you though, why cauliflower? What's the connection? What's the obsession? Like, I saw you coming out with the cauliflower. I'm like, man, this guy lives it. But why? Like, how did you get to be cauliflower?
Well, you see, I've got a touch of this here cauliflower ear, and I actually lost a good piece of it through an infection and surgery and whatnot, and Terry Funk, when he saw my ear, he said, you got to use that. And I was like, okay, you know, and he thought, Terry, God bless him, he thought that I could pull off like a Roddy Piper type promo. And so I did a promo for him at this seminar thing. And he said, you know, you got to use that. What about cauliflower? What about Cauliflower Brown? You should call yourself. So I call myself Cauliflower Chase Brown, and then slowly get rid of the Chase and just go all Cauliflower Brown. And so that was Terry's idea. And then after I started wrestling under Cauliflower Brown for a little while, some fans brought a cauliflower, a physical vegetable, you know, to the show. When I was wrestling that Caleb Conley. And after that, I just started bringing it myself and eating it and making pizza crusts out of it. And, you know, pretty much anything you can do with a cauliflower, you dirty birds, anything you can do with a cauliflower, I've done it.
Great. All right. Now I got two questions for you. First question, let me take you back to Terry Funk. Do you do a Terry Funk impression?
Dude, you know, it escapes me, and I really wish that I could, because it's one of those that everybody does. I cannot. There's something about that, you know, I know what you're saying. Does anyone there do one? Because,
well, see,
not a good one.
Well, I would you mind giving us a shot? Like, could you take a chance and try one for us?
Oh, man.
Come on. It's my birthday.
Tony, you egg-sucking dog.
That was good. I like that.
That was really good.
I'm sorry, Vince. I got to go home and feed my horse. It's sick.
That's a great fucking impression.
Not bad.
That's pretty good, man.
I never really tried to do it before. You know, it's daunting to me. But,
Well, you did a great job.
What was the other thing? You had two things.
Yes, you said you've been cooking with cauliflower. Have you tried the cauliflower crust pizza? Because I've seen it, and it looks really tasty, but I need to know an opinion from somebody who's tried it.
Oh, yeah. I was on a real cauliflower pizza crust kick for a little while now. I'll tell you who turned me on to it. Actually, I was eating the cauliflower at a PWX show, and that crazy guy, Sammy Callahan, he came by and he told me he had been eating cauliflower pizza crust to lose weight. And he kind of gave me a rundown of what he did. And so then I was like, well, hell, I ought to be the one eating cauliflower pizza crust and him go back to killing people, you know. And so I went and took off to find the recipe. And after that, I made tons of them. My favorite is to make a cauliflower crust. And that is a process. It takes about an hour and a half, you know, start to finish. I make a good cauliflower crust and put buffalo sauce for the sauce, and then blue cheese crumbles and chicken and spinach. It's a hell of a thing.
Does the cauliflower give you the gas like the broccoli?
I have never had that problem with cauliflower. I don't know. I don't know if I'm special in some way. I mean, but it doesn't give me that problem at all. Yeah.
God bless you. Good for you. I like the cauliflower mashed potatoes.
Isn't that mashed cauliflower?
Yeah, it's good.
Those are just pretty much just, you know, steamed cauliflower. They don't really have much difference. But with the crust, if you put enough oregano and basil and whatnot in there, it'll taste pretty Italian-y.
Interesting. Italian-y. All right. I can get down with that. Cauliflower, I know you have a busy schedule ahead of you. We have a packed show tonight. We just want to thank you for calling in for Tony. He needs like 100 cauliflower pizzas because he's a little fucking fat. You know what I'm saying?
Pot and kettle over here. Jesus. I'm not the fat wizard anymore there, Matthew.
See, Matt. When you eat a large pizza by yourself, you feel like, oh my God, what I do to myself. But you eat a large cauliflower pizza, you're just like, ah. I just ate so much vegetable, you know, and you feel really good about it still. So, you know, I recommend it.
Well, Matt's favorite thing to eat, vegetables. Cauliflower, I appreciate you calling in tonight for my birthday, brother. Much love. And when you come back up here, we're going to have to check you out again, man. I miss seeing you in action live, brother.
Good. I'll try to get something hooked up in the New York, New Jersey area here soon. And hopefully, definitely this time next year.
Yeah, sounds good.
I like that. Thank you, Mr. Cauliflower Brown. You can follow Cauliflower on Twitter at Catch Chase Brown. Cauliflowerbrown.com is his website. There's a great New York Times OP documentary that Mick Foley really put a stamp of approval on. There's a link on Cauliflower's Twitter page. Check that out. Cauliflower, it's a pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, brother.
Hey, you guys have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you. Cauliflower Brown. Awesome. We got Jay George called in. We are rocking. We are rolling.
Whoa, this no is... quarter. Jesus.
What?
No break. Whoa.
Oh, did you not listen to Eddie's fucking birthday bash? This is nonstop. You got about 5 minutes to your next phone call.
Oh, okay. I thought somebody was on already. I thought I heard.
I was hanging up on Cauliflower Brown.
Now, you see, you were calling him Cauliflower Brown. I didn't realize he was Chase Brown because that's how I knew him, you know?
Oh, well.
Because I had called some stuff for him in Tier 1 back in the day.
I know, and you're going, I don't know who this is. And
well,
I
didn't know until I pulled up Cauliflower Brown. I'm like, oh, okay, it's Chase. I know who he is.
There you go.
Sorry. And I, you know what? I didn't know about the ear, because as you could see in his older pictures, dude had long hair. Oh, shit.
Really?
We're ahead of schedule.
Uh-oh. Joining us for Tony's birthday extravaganza, what's your name, where you're calling from?
Hello, Tony? Is it Tony?
Yes.
Hi, Tony. This is Green.
Who
is this?
Tony? This Tony the toenail?
Close enough, yes.
Toenail? Toenail? I heard it was your birthday, Toenail.
Yes. Yes, it is my birthday. Who's this?
Toenail. Toenail. Happy birthday, Toenail.
Well, thank you very much.
Toenail, have you heard?
No, I don't think I have.
Have you heard about radioactive metal?
Oh, no, shit!
Wow.
Whoa.
The hottest chick on the Shining Wizards Network.
Next to Matt.
Woo! Happy birthday, Tony!
Thank you so much. You know, Snowy's going to be a little jealous. He was hitting me up for the phone number today. But look at this.
Yeah. Oh, God, Tony. Hey, Tony. Snowy here, Canada. Kevin, the Devils are in the playoffs. We're going to toot some horns. Yep. Happy birthday. Okay. Don't make fun of Snowy. Okay.
Oh, go fuck your hand, dude.
See you later.
Corrine, thank you so much for calling in.
Don't you like that, Toenail.
Why do you sound Asian?
Yeah, what was that about?
Oh, God, you know, sometimes you just need to get in with your deep roots.
Wait, you're Asian?
No, but I can be. Anything. Anything could be possible when you're deep enough, right?
That's what she said.
Hi-o! I need my bell! I need my soundboard!
Here we go.
Well, Corinne, thanks for calling in for Tony's birthday.
So what, you're blowing her off now?
No, I'm just making conversation, dicko.
Yeah, he's got more things to blow.
Ah. Oh, my guys. Am I right, Kevin?
Right, you are. Tony.
Well, congratulations to you and the rest of the Radioactive crew, 500 episodes.
I know, I can't believe it. I don't know how we did it or why we did it, but we did it.
Are you saying you don't like the guys that you do the show with?
Oh, I love those guys, but don't tell them.
Do you like do you like wrestling? Do you like the wrestling? We may have a spot opening up here.
I don't know. I think that's too much for me to handle. That's a lot of man meat there.
Well, Matt's eyebrow just raised.
Oh yeah, you know how I feel. That's not the only thing that raised.
Oh, oh yeah.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
See, this is
Canadian too. Are you Canadian?
I can be.
Hey?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not Canadian.
Okay.
Can you do an Asian Canadian?
Can I do an Asian Canadian?
Have you done an Asian Canadian?
You're gonna have to talk to Snowy about that one.
Hey. Okay. Yeah. Hockey. Great.
Hey.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, horns up, everybody. Happy Mrs. Horns Snowy's up. Birthday. Tony's birthday.
Don't make fun of Snowy. He's at least the older guy than me. I'm not the oldest guy anymore.
Oh, great. So we got the hottest chick on the network and the second oldest guy on our podcast tonight. Fantastic.
Doesn't it feel great? God.
Did you ever fix the thing on your website where we could send you love letters?
You know what? I was waiting for that love letter since I heard about it, and I don't know what's going on with it. But nothing's broken on my end.
Oh, Matt, hold on a second, Matt. Is something broken on your end, Matt?
No, nothing's broken.
Is your end broken?
No, I'm going to go right now. Loud and fierce.
Matt, I heard your tip was broken.
Yes, Matt. Is the tip?
No, it's just the tip. It's not
That's
broken.
What she said.
Well, yeah, but you can't just get the tip if it's broken.
Look, when you marry an Asian chick, you can give her just the tip because all Asian dicks are small, so.
Don't give her too much.
Oh, and you know this from experience?
I just said it.
Yeah, he's married to an Asian lady.
All right, we're going to go to loudandfierce.com.
Oh, an Asian lady. Oh.
Yeah, yes. Not an Asian man.
Not an Asian baby.
I can't put that out on the airwaves about the man thing.
She graduated from massage parlor. She does nail salons now.
So what is...
Toenail.
Hey, Corinne.
I thought she was going to toenail. I thought when you said... I kept... Were you saying toenail? Corinne, were you saying toenail?
Yeah, toenail.
You were. Okay, that's all right. That's what I thought.
Why is your Facebook under Lily?
Toenail. No, long story.
Oh,
you want to tell the story?
Because too many creeps like you, probably.
Yeah, probably.
So here's what happened. I got into a car accident.
Oh, well, now I feel bad.
Was this insurance fraud? Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
Gosh, it should be, right?
Allegedly.
Paying an arm and a leg for it. I got into an accident with a minor. I T-boned the girl. She pulled out right in front of me. She was driving a 2016 Ford Mustang, and I have a Challenger. So needless to say, I did a lot of damage to her vehicle. And because of the insurances, I was under investigation, and they wanted pictures prior to my car. And they were saying that if I don't send them, that they were going to take and find the pictures in some way, shape, or form, and blah, 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 blah. So anyways,
should we be talking about this? Should we be talking about this? Is this like an ongoing legal thing?
Kevin, nobody listens.
No. It's settled. It's settled. Everything's good now. Yeah, no, this is what I can talk about. But yeah, that's why. And Facebook doesn't let you change your name back for 60 days once you change it.
Yeah, we've been in the Facebook doghouse with name changing for about 5 years.
So is this like your stripper name? What is this?
Lily Genova.
Lily Toenail.
All right, so anyway.
Lily Toenail.
your Loud and Fierce website, this is like you're helping spread the word on the metal community shows, right?
Yes. Thank you.
Contact.
Well, okay. Well, Matt's sticking around with that. You're from Florida, right? Like you were born, raised. Have you always been there?
No, I have not. Okay. I was born in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma,
where the wind blows.
By God,
something down the plane. Something.
My parents were in the Air Force, and then they got out. We moved to Florida. Long story short, I moved to Maryland. That's how I know about Towson University.
Fucking A!
So I lived there for about 7 years, and I hated Maryland, so I moved back to Florida.
Wait, what? Why did you hate Maryland? I love Maryland.
Maryland sucks, dude. Come on.
You have to live in Maryland. You have to live in a town. No joke. You have to live in a town called Boring, Maryland.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I'm dead serious. Yeah, there's a town called Boring, Maryland, and Reisterstown is where I lived.
So wait, I mean, you could have got out. You lived in a town called Boring, Maryland. I mean, I'm sure they're not all like that. Why don't you move to a town called Excitement, Maryland?
Wouldn't that be great? But nothing like that exists there.
Kevin Garifo at Tierney's this weekend.
That's right. Every weekend.
Yeah, he'll be stealing all of the Blue Meanies jokes.
Oh!
First of all, I credited him with all of his fucking jokes.
Oh, you know what I did? So I, on your contact, I put the website in, but it said a URL was requested. I just deleted the website.
Delete.
It went through. So you got a message from Shining Wizards Tony.
Great.
Oh, thank you. You know what? I'm going to just make a page on the site, and I'm going to pin it right there for everybody to see.
Fuck yeah.
That's right.
All right.
Can I change my name, though, because I had a car accident? Can I be like Billy Jehovah?
Oh, yeah, because Billy Joel's been a million accidents. Sure.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
All right, Toenail. Wrap it up.
All right. Which tourists do you hate the most? Do you hate the Disney tourists or the Universal tourists?
You know what? I haven't been to Disney World itself since I was 5.
What?
Yeah.
I was just there last week.
I hate to be that person, but yeah, Disney World isn't really the happiest place to be if you live in Florida.
Yeah, but don't you get like the yearly discount? Like, who was it? One of the guys that used to run shows up here. He lives down there. He's there every weekend. You know the guy I'm talking about. I can't think of his name.
It's crazy because you can get a Disney annual pass, and you can make monthly payments on your annual pass because they're that fucking expensive. And the discounts really don't really, they're not really much of a discount when you have to figure everything else, like parking.
Oh, but wait a minute. Now we have two connections in Florida. So we have two people that can get us yearly passes for Disney. We could take road trips every year if we want.
Yeah, let's do that.
I would, if you want to do Disney, totally go for it. But Universal is the best, personally, in my opinion.
Oh, I love it.
Because of Halloween Horror Nights.
Did you say Halloween Horror Nights?
That's what I thought I heard.
Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, hoarder.
Oh, you're saying horror. I thought it was Canadian a horror accent. Night.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
It's that
she's Oklahoma. Not Canadian.
It's that Oklahoma. She could be. Twang.
She lived in Maryland. She's close
Twang.
Enough.
Twang. When are you, how often are you on the radioactive metal?
How often am I on the radioactive metal? Well, I'm only on it for like an hour and a half.
All right, I don't fucking know. I don't have time to listen. Jesus Christ.
Ooh, awful. She's a strong supporter of our show.
Oh, like I'm going to lie and tell her I fucking listen every week and listen to Snowy interview someone in a fucking closet while fucking Guar plays in the fucking room in front of him? It's the only episode I listened to. I loved it up until that. Snowy's like, hey, oh, it's Canada.
Let's go.
Let's go. what's your no? See, I'm just busting balls. I hope you understand, and you're not sensitive.
Oh, I do understand busting balls.
Oh, I know. I said I was talking to her about setting this up, and I'm like, "Oh, we're gonna get all your plugs in tomorrow night." She's like, "I hope that's the only thing you guys are plugging." And I was like, "You're fucking awesome."
There it is.
What's your favorite interview that you've had a chance to be a part of, or favorite thing that Radioactive Metal has done in the 500 episodes that you guys have done? And I'm going to say my have done a million more times.
Oh, my goodness. I think it would have to be the when we did Exodus at the Hard Rock Live in Orlando. And we were, Rock and I, we were going backstage to interview the guitarist for Exodus. And we see Slayer getting their stuff set up. And all you see are these huge, two huge giant iron crosses just going right on stage. And when we were doing that interview, I'm going to butcher his name. Oh, my God. Can't fucking remember. Tom Huntington.
We were interviewing Tom. Tom to Tom Huntington.
And we had this little, like, 6x4 closet space. And I don't know what it is with podcasters and fucking closets, but that's what we had. And we were doing this interview in this little closet space with Tom Huntington. Forgive me.
Huntington.
And then next to the interview room was Slayer's freaking mass catering. So here you are. You have Exodus's little tiny room, and then next to it is this giant fucking catering room just for Slayer.
Jesus!
It's fucking massive. Yeah, and it was so crazy because right after the show, Rock and I at the Hard Rock Live, they have something called the John Lennon room. And so we went to a Slayer. We went to a Slayer pre party in the John Lennon room.
Do you get shot in the chest?
Huh?
Do you get shot in the chest at the John Lennon room?
Maybe a shot of Jack in the chest.
Atta girl.
There we go.
I was thinking a little DBB, maybe.
The fuck's DBB?
Drive by Bukkake. Let me ask you, Corrine.
Yeah, real fast.
We gotta go.
Last question: do you like screamers or growlers?
Growlers.
Oh, wah, 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 wah. I love screamers.
Really?
I don't know if I'm on board with growlers.
You
I love
should
screamers.
Like screamers. As expected.
Ah! Correct. Ding. My favorite screamer of all time.
Corrine, it's been a pleasure. I know
Corrine!
This is long. What the fuck?
Ever? Really?
Lily. Lily, thank you for calling in for Tony's birthday. Radioactivemetal.org is the website. Lily, Corrine has the Loud and Fierce website, loudandfierce.com. She's updating it daily. She is very involved in the heavy metal community.
Yes.
And she's trying to bring you all the information possible about shows near you. So give it a follow. Give
Doing
her
a hell
like.
Of a job.
Send her some mail. Apparently it works, and I'm just an idiot.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, some dick pics once in a while. Whatever.
You probably should think about that before you say that, because knowing the people that listen to this show, you might get a lot of sad dick pics.
Probably would. I would probably get a lot of 6 o'clocks and not a lot of midnights.
I don't even get it.
6 o'clock hangs low, Kevin. Midnight's up high.
That's pretty good.
Thanks.
Kevin's going to use that one when he opens up a Tierney's this weekend. We got any sixes in the
Crane,
house?
Crane, we're going to let you go because we got 100 more phone calls tonight.
That's the
Thank you so much for calling
You're very welcome.
For Tony's birthday.
Thanks for celebrating my birthday, Corrine.
You're welcome, Tony. Have a great night.
Awesome.
Thanks, Corrine. Have a good night. Corrine from Radioactive Metal. She was fantastic. I didn't know what the weird Asian thing was, and she called a little early, so I didn't know what was going on there.
Yeah,
that could have been anybody.
I didn't either. I thought it was Gino Gotz at first. I'm like, why is he doing his voice?
All right, we are rocking and rolling. Tony, we got how are you feeling so far? Are you enjoying yourself?
Good. This has been awesome, yeah.
All right, you're having fun?
Yeah.
This is what? Just like the, wait, the appetizer. No.
Oh, shit.
No. This is working out really well. Now joining us on the Shining Wizards Hotline for Shining Wizard Tony's birthday extravaganza. He is the man, the myth, the legend, Matthew Ryan Shapiro. How are you, sir?
Woohoo!
I was told to call in to wish a very special boy a very special birthday. Tony, how old are you, young man?
I'm 75, Matthew. Thanks for asking.
Oh, God. This is not what I expected.
No, he ruined it.
I was supposed to be making a dream come true, and now I'm looking at the stark reality of a man well past his prime.
Ugh. If he said 40, he would have still been well past his prime.
Wow, really,
gentlemen,
dude?
I feel like past the womb was past his prime. Thank you for having me on, gentlemen. So, Tony, it's your birthday.
It's my birthday.
Ryan Shapiro on the line. How's your birthday, friend?
So far, so good. So far, so good. These guys have been lining up the hits for me, man, and I appreciate you calling in. The hits keep on coming.
You're welcome. I'm the high watermark of the evening, obviously. I'm the Esquire of Excellence, the Sultan of Sartorial Splendor, your favorite wrestling announcer's favorite wrestling announcer, your favorite manager's 75th favorite manager. But let's be on the point. I'm glad that I could make your day better. That's what matters to me, making all the people happy, except Shining Wizard Matt. I want to fight him in the streets. That's where I completely different.
Well, take a number, because Bobby Lashley's got him first.
It's about time somebody told me they hated me. I've been waiting 6 years for that.
Well, Kevin and I just don't want to tell you to your face.
That's nice of them. I'll say it to his face. I just don't know what he looks like.
Ah, that's the trick. People don't know I'm a Shining Wizards. Shining
Wizards. A Shining Wizards?
Fuck, kill me.
Yes, you are more than one wizard. You are Shining Wizards. That's how grotesquely large you're getting.
God. And for those who are living under a rock here, Matthew Ryan Shapiro is the voice, face, proprietor, the man of Capital Wrestling, and also Indeed. Manager extraordinaire. So, Matt, tell us, give us some Capital Wrestling updates.
Well, Capital Wrestling returns to Hoboken, and I expect all three of you jamokes to show up on April 28th, Saturday night, April 28th, at the Capital Auditorium in Hoboken, New Jersey, 301 Garden Street. It's a 10-minute walk from the PATH train. Let's be honest, none of you know how to drive because, well, you listen to this show, for God's sake. So you're stupid enough to ride the PATH, pay your $275, and then come to the door, come to the Capital, watch Ken Dixon retain his Capital Wrestling Championship, watch the Menfo Mofo beat up a hot dog. I know it's not July 4th yet, but we're going to have a hot dog eating contest on April 28th as the Menfo Mofo, your Sapphire Television Champion, is going to retain. And then 6'8", 297 3/4 pounds of endgame, Paul Jourdain will make Matt McIntosh into apple cider in your semi-main event of the evening.
Wait. Matt's drooling over here. Did you say a hot dog eating contest?
Yes, there's a hot dog eating contest.
Well, one of the wizards knows about eating hot dogs. It's Matt. Am I right, Kevin? Hi-yo.
I'd fuck some hot dogs up, just so you know. I think I'd eat a hot dog an inning at a baseball game.
I think we'd have to go a little faster than that, but
no, you got to pace yourself, man.
Anybody can eat 9 hot dogs over 9 innings.
No, anyone cannot eat fucking 9 hot. Matthew Ryan Shapiro, can you eat 9 hot dogs in 3 hours?
I don't eat hot dogs.
That's right.
I'm rich.
That's a good point.
The so, fuck?
What do you say?
I go to a ball game where they need to check your bloodline to see if you can belong in the stadium. And then from there, I go to an executive suite, me, Hank, and Hal having a good old conversation, talking about buying and selling people like they were property, because some of them are, mainly you three schmucks. And then I will have myself a lovely beverage. I will have myself a filet mignon. I will bring my dog into the stadium because I can do whatever the hell I want to do. the Matthew Ryan by God Shapiro. And then I watch the Yankees lose because I'm a Mets fan and it gives me joy. Oh. Aaron Judge is a schmuck.
Okay, so you like the fancier things in life. What's your go-to steakhouse?
Let's see. Liberty Prime. Liberty Prime in Jersey City.
Oh, there you go.
Be mean to Tony some more.
See, I would do that. I would do that. Not, I won't do it not just because it's his birthday, but it's because life has beat him down so much. He reminds me of a Trump supporter. Someone with a lot of gusto, a lot of vigor, a lot of wrong opinion on a lot of different things. But he doesn't care. He persists. He pushes off because he's a patriot, because he's an American, because he's a dummy. Yeah. Like all of you listening
are dummies. That's right.
Like the other two on the line are dummies. That Kevin, not so much, but I don't know.
That's right.
I don't know. I share
that executive suite sometimes when Mr. Shapiro feels like slumming it with the common folks. He invites me to the, you know, to the baseball suites where we don't eat hot dogs.
Oh my God, you two don't blow on each other.
That's right. Matt, what do you got?
I got nothing. This guy really is just fucking.
He like tore me up over here. I'm scared to ask any more questions.
He's really grinded my gears. I would love to see him in the street.
He's a Mets fan.
I don't care. He doesn't eat hot dogs. Who doesn't eat hot dogs? 301 Garden Street. I'll be there. I'll be there, Matthew Ryan Shapiro. Now, I was at that goddamn church, and I froze my goddamn balls off with that fucking kid toucher when he was in the ring. Hey, like them apples.
Jesus.
Well, I do like the apples that McIntosh brings to the ring every other night except April 28th.
That's right.
Because he steps in with my endgame, Paul Jourdain. And I'm sorry you were cold in that dilapidated venue in Jersey City. But when you come to 301 Garden Street, when you come to the Capitol, broadcasting around the world, we're on in the Twin Cities, we're bringing the Capitol Wrestling Television Network to Waukegan, just outside of Chicago. We're bringing television to New Jersey, Connecticut. It's going to start sounding like a Joe Biden promo with how many markets we're going to end up in with our television clearance. But don't be afraid, Matt. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared of the cold. Don't be scared of the elements. Don't be scared of the other mouth breathers who pay to see me every month. Don't be afraid.
You weren't cold?
Come.
You were a little cold.
Of course
cold.
I was cold.
All right. Just asking.
What's wrong with you people?
We do a whole other podcast on what's wrong with us.
I think there's criminal cases that have been predicated on that fact.
But all kidding aside, Matthew Ryan Shapiro has hit it on the head. Capitol Wrestling blowing up big. Eric Bischoff has gone on record. He supports everything Capitol Wrestling is doing. The Twitch is awesome. They're doing all new content all the time on Twitch. And, I mean, the Twin Cities, Jersey, they're everywhere. I highly recommend giving Capitol Wrestling a follow at Capitol Wrestling. There's no G on that on the Twitter machine. They are highly active on Twitter. And if you listened last week, the rock god, Ronnie Burton, was in studio.
Yes, he was. He killed it.
Capitol Wrestling's very own, and he tore it up. So, I mean, Capitol Wrestling is doing great things. Matthew, we are short on time. Anything before we let you go, brother?
Well, I do want to thank you for promoting Capitol Wrestling. And, Tony, happy birthday. I hope you're enjoying it, my friend. And I do hope to see you all on April 28th at the Capitol. As always, we are taking donations for the Hoboken Shelter to help the less fortunate in our own hometown. If you live in Hoboken, we're opening up ticket outlets inside Hoboken. We'll be returning to Tunes right on Washington Street. You'll be able to get tickets right there. We're opening up another outlet as well. Be sure to visit and patronize local Hoboken businesses that have Capitol Wrestling flyers. Let them know that you are coming to the Capitol on April 28th. Our main event is Darius Carter and Logan Easton LaRue teaming up against Anthony Gangone and the Colossal Mike Law. We have the return of Juba, Joe Keys. So much great action. Capitol Wrestling Episode 53 is up right now on WrestleZone, on Twitch, on Brooklyn On Demand, on our YouTube and Facebook channels, and so much more. If you live in the Twin Cities, Capitol Wrestling Television returns this Saturday night at 10 p.m. That's 10 p.m. Central Time, 11 p.m. Eastern. in Waukegan, Illinois, just outside of Chicago. We debut on May 3rd, Thursday night at 10 p.m. We are your Thursday night pro wrestling alternative. The best city in wrestling gets Capital Wrestling all across the country. And if you are interested in being a part of the Capital Revolution, you want to be a sponsor like the Shining Wizards, who we hope to come back at Mystery Dream Match Theater, well, Mystery Dream Match 3000. We hope to see you there on April 28th. Email us at capitalwrestling@gmail.com. Go buy your tickets now.
bit.ly/capitalndn3000.
Night, guys.
Good night, Matthew. Ryan Shapiro, great guest, supporting or showing his love for Capital Wrestling.
Holy
great.
Shit, did he plug himself enough?
Look, man,
it was my birthday.
He hits it hard. It is your birthday.
No, he's pretty entertaining, dude. He's a good guy. That main event is something else. Those guys in that main event, the return of Juba, how could you go wrong?
You can't. The next guest is the only one I'm really concerned about who may or may not call in.
Oh, no.
So we'll see where this goes.
Okay, what time is that guest supposed to call?
Now, a minute ago.
A minute ago.
1 minute ago.
Oh, so we're concerned already?
No, we'll be fine. I'll shoot him a message right now while we're,
doing this. A message.
I don't know if I like people calling and insulting me on my birthday.
Well, it is what it is.
It's a roast.
But, roast. How was your WrestleMania?
I enjoyed the first half immensely.
So that's 3.5 hours.
Yeah, pretty much. They booked Bayley to look like an asshole, which was stupid. They should have given her a fucking comeuppance. Fucking Roman Reigns not winning. Great, they're going to Saudi Arabia. Can we talk about that real quick?
Talk about, Tony, it's your birthday. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. This is Flush the Format birthday jam.
They must be paying WWE $1 billion to go to Saudi Arabia to fuck up their booking of the main events of WrestleMania, to fucking to tell them, oh yeah, no problem, we won't send any of the women over there because fuck women, right? So it's a 50-man sausage fest with your main event of Brock Lesnar, who they had to sign to a new deal to fucking defend the title against Roman Reigns over in Saudi Arabia. So
do you think that's why they did it?
Yeah, of course.
You think they altered the WrestleMania booking because of the Saudi Arabia?
Absolutely.
I never thought of that.
You know, the Shah of Saudi Arabia over there, who the Iron Sheik was the fucking Minister of Defense for. I'm making that up. Of course.
Saudi Arabia would care if Roman Reigns was the champion?
Dude, what better way to get eyes on your product in the Middle East?
So you think the title changes there?
Yes, absolutely. Dude, it's the first time that the championship has probably ever been defended in that area, let alone a title change. That's huge business.
I never thought about that.
And people here are going to get to see it for free on the network.
Would that be the first title change on the network that's not a traditional pay-per-view?
Ooh. Were there any title changes when they went to Japan for the Brock show that time?
I don't know. I don't think so. Didn't Brock just throw around the New Day or Kofi Kingston?
Kofi Kingston, yeah, but he also threw around the rest of the guys. Bludgeon Brothers, I love the booking of that. I thought that was awesome. The Cena booking, fucking awesome, except for, dude, take the fucking boot, dude. Take the boot. Did you see that? Take the boot.
I missed that.
Run into it.
Oh, yeah. No, I did see that.
You're an asshole. You were an asshole building up to it. Take the fucking boot. You're John Cena, for Christ's sake.
He's got that movie star mug.
Alexa Nia was good. Charlotte. Whoa, that surprised the shit out of me. I wasn't upset at all. It was an awesome win for her.
I loved it. That was match of the night for me.
Matt Hardy winning the fucking Battle Royal. That was cool as shit. Now we got them as a tag team. Oh, you want to know why they're a tag team now? Because Jeff Hardy can't leave the country. Buzzing! And the tag titles are on the line in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, that's right.
So, you cannot put Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt together and not have them win the tag belts. You just can't. You can't do it.
What about...
Unless it's a huge-ass swerve, which they're not going to do.
I see a ready-made feud between Bray and Matt and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens when they come over.
It's completely possible. Oh, since when is Finn Balor a poster boy for the LGBTQ community? When did that happen?
I said that really quick.
When did that happen?
It took us like 10 minutes in our pre-show to
figure
out.
Dude, I work in Hell's Kitchen. I'm around this all the time. So
what is it? It's
LGBTQ. LG... No, now you made me fuck it up, dude. LGBTQ, right? No.
QT? Not,
fuck! The gay community. The gay, trans, whatever. LGBTQ. That's it. You've made me fuck it up.
Because in our pre-recorded pre-show, we spend like a good four and a half minutes
pre-recorded pre-show.
Trying to figure out what the hell this was.
It's pre-recorded. Oh shit! Is this our guest?
This is where it gets good.
Oh, this is awesome.
Joining us now on the Shining Wizards Hotline for Tony's birthday extravaganza, the one and only wrestling legend, Mr. Tracy Smothers. How are you tonight, sir?
Oh shit!
Hey guys.
Tracy, my man. There? Thank you so much for calling in, brother.
Yeah. Hey, sorry. The time, and I forgot Eastern time. Y'all were on, you know. Okay, yeah. But, I just got on the computer. What's going on, guys?
We are enjoying the night. This is a pleasant surprise, my man. This is such a pleasant surprise. You have been such a big part of my childhood growing up in wrestling. Shit, even into my adulthood. The stuff with the FBI. Amazing stuff, man. This is...
Look. I forgot this is a surprise for you, right? You didn't know I was doing it, did you?
He had no idea.
Not at all, man. And this is an awesome surprise.
Yeah, your birthday. It's your birthday. Tony. Are you Tony?
Yeah, that's me.
Tony. Well, happy birthday. How old are you?
Thanks, man. I'm 44. Getting old, yeah, still enjoying wrestling, man. Still enjoying life.
Now, where are y'all out of?
We are in New Jersey, just outside of New York City.
Oh, okay. Cool beans. Oh, man, I forgot. I didn't mean to spoil it, but I guess I didn't. Yeah, we surprised you. Yeah, he contacted me the other night. I'm looking here. Matt. And about that, you know, yeah, I forgot about that. Well, good deal. So what's the name of this podcast?
We are the Shining Wizards, my friend. We've been doing this close to 7 years now.
Yeah, okay. I've seen that online. I've seen it advertised stuff, you know. Things like that.
So that's awesome, man. Hey, let me in. What's Tracy Smothers up to these days?
Oh, just working my job, son, and wrestling time, you know, on the weekends, and, you know, I stay pretty big, about 4, 6, 8 times a month, something like that, you know, about 8 times a month, I guess, just hanging out, just old man, you know, same old thing, just trying to make a living, that's all, just chilling out, bills are low, so I don't have to, you know, a lot of overhead, how the homes pay for, and, you know, we are.
That's awesome, know, man.
Yeah, they're doing fine. Their kids grown and everything, so, you know, things like that. But what'd y'all think of the WrestleMania?
Actually, we were just talking about it. For the most part, I thought it was pretty interesting. I thought there was a lot of entertaining stuff on there. Did you get a chance to check out the show yourself?
Yeah, I did. I watched it on the network, on my computer. I watched it too at our school with Mother's thing. You know, we watched it there, and I watched the playback. Watched most of it, but I watched it once all the way through. And people get upset about finishes or whatever and do, but they got to keep kind of people guessing, you know what I mean? You know, and it's hard to do anymore with, you know, all the social media. And used to, it's just Northeast people were, you know, smart to the business. Now they're everywhere, all over the world. You know, all right, let's get on the computer, so it's kind of tough, you know.
Right, and it's WrestleMania. It has evolved so much into not just a night, but to a whole week involving people from all around the world and companies all around the world.
Yeah.
And with that being said, I mean, you hope for the positive reactions, but for some reason it seems to elicit more negative reactions than positive. I think it's getting a little better, but you still get that positive, negative, that negative vibe about stuff that could have been done, that should have been done. What is your take on that? And if you had like a message to these fans that constantly want to be negative for the sake of being negative, or just constantly disagree with the product, what would you say to them? Like, is there any advice you would give to them?
I guess just turn the channel if you don't want to watch it. I mean, I drift in and out interest, and everybody's different. Does that make sense? You know, there's so much for people to watch nowadays. Something over here may not be what they want to see, but over here, they may not want to see it, but the other guy might, or family, or whatever. You know, and everybody has different tastes, you know. And everybody likes the same kind of food, right? One day they'll eat Wendy's, one day they may eat McDonald's, one night they might eat Burger King, you know, or Kentucky Fried Chicken, or Chinese, you know, I mean, you know. everybody has a right to voice their opinion, especially, you know, they paid to watch it, you know, so, opinions, right? That's the way it is. And I guess WWE has their reasons what they do and why they do it. And, you know, we don't know the whole inside of you know, the why behind the what, or the what behind the why, you know. Just don't have it, you know.
Well, Tracy, let me ask you. You got a chance to catch the whole show. What one thing stuck out to you? What did you really enjoy the most out of WrestleMania?
I thought was a hell of a match was the girls, Charlotte and Asuka.
There you go.
And I thought, what a match, huh? God.
Yeah.
She looked like Charlotte had trimmed down and gotten really ready, you know, because she knew she was going to go hard in there with her. And, man, what a match. And I thought Ronda Rousey did real good.
She sure did.
I thought Triple H was in great shape. I thought Stephanie did a hell of a job. She's not a wrestler. But, you know, with the psychology and the stuff they did, her cheating, you know what I mean, before she ever even got up with Ronda and everything. But I thought she did damn good to be in her 40s and not a wrestler at all, you know. And I thought Ronda did great. And I love that sequence she did with Hunter and the punches in the corner and the submission and the place was going crazy. And there's a lot of things. It was Daniel Bryan is so over, I don't think AJ and Nakamura. I don't think one reason. You know, everybody's saying it wasn't what they did before, which was classic. But I don't know how bad AJ's injury was, or even what his injury was. That might have limited to what he could do. That's what people don't understand. I think he got hurt pretty bad, you know, but they never really disclosed, to my knowledge, they didn't. But that's what people don't understand. And AJ's around 40 years old, I thought there was a lot of good things on there. I think they should have, you know, had some kind of surprise for that with Braun. It's a good thing with the kids and everything and all that, dude, but I think people might have been let down by that. Am I right? I mean, you know, that was kind of a letdown. I think people thought it might have been Hulk or The Rock, or especially with his daughter there and his mom or something like that, and that might have been, you know. But then you can understand why they want to keep the people, you know, that are in, with them. Did y'all watch last night? I can't remember. Did they debut any guys off NXT?
Yes. They debuted the Authors of Pain, the tag team.
Yeah. Okay. I think I saw that. Yeah. Who else?
Ember Moon, the former women's champion.
Yep. And who else?
No Way Jose.
Yeah,
The conga line
the dancer,
guy
with afro dancing, right? Yeah,
yes,
yeah,
that's him.
Yeah, I believe that was. Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, Bobby
came
Lashley
back.
Made his big return.
That's right. Yeah. Who did he work with?
He did a thing with Elias.
Yeah,
he comes out and puts him up in a really high suspended vertical suplex and drops him down.
And you know, for sure they'll probably have a lot of debuts tonight too, right? You know, right. The SmackDown show, you know, I'm sure, and you know, so I don't know, but maybe you know they, you know, what do I know? But you're kind of looking for somebody with Braun, right? You know, a big guy, somebody big, you know, Austin or Rock or Hulk or something like that, and you know, and then he wins the titles on his own. You know?
And I'm with you. I'm totally with you there. And I thought it was a letdown at first, but I think that when they went through with it, it was a fun little time, and you ended up getting some enjoyment out of it.
For the kids, right?
Yeah.
And probably for the kids, you know. And Seth Rollins and it was Tyler Black and Miz and Finn. And I think maybe they wanted to lead you to believe maybe that
Miz, being he just had a baby, you know what I mean? You know, and then Jinder, that was a good swerve because they'd been beating him a lot, you know, right? And him being Indian, from India, the United States title. So, you know, put some heat on him there because they'd kind of cooled him down for a while. Didn't really expect that, right? You know?
No, absolutely. Tracy, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Just hearing you talk about WrestleMania, I mean, you are a wealth of knowledge, and you have the School of Smothers Training Center going on in Illinois. Can you just enlighten us a little bit about what you're doing out there?
Yeah. Let me say one more thing. I thought one thing was a good school. I think the people thought maybe Nakamura was going to beat AJ. And then he didn't, and then he turned. I thought that was unexpected, you know. We've been doing that 9-10 months, something like that, close to a year. Joey Grunge, you can look him up, and it's Midwest Impact Pro. We kind of want to get rid of that Impact, you know. But School of Smothers got anywhere 10, 15, 20 guys come, you know, and do the first and third weekends of every month, like we just did, Saturday seminar. We went from almost to 1 to 4, something like that, I believe we did. And then we had a show that night. We always do that Saturday night. And then the next day we go 12 to 2 seminar. And then we have a school show, 3 o'clock show, Central Term. We do it the first, third weekend of every month. And then coming up, well, for us, kind of a big show, the 21st. You know, on the Saturday, we'll have the seminar that day at Havana, Illinois, outside of Lincoln. We have a building there. We have, some weights a little bit, some tires, some of the ropes, you know, and, some dumbbells, some cardio machines, some ellipticals, a couple of, things like that, and work out with the guys, do a lot of conditioning and training, and work out in the ring, you know, and Sadie Blaze helps me, and Jason Sparkle, he does a good job, Joey does, and try to make it a family show, you know what I mean, where somewhere, our Saturday and Sunday, where can you bring your family, bring your wife, kids, everything, and nothing, no cussing, nothing that you couldn't bring your family, and try to do that, and got a few sponsors around there, get a good response. We got good response on the one coming up, April 21st. Gonna have Bobby Eaton there, meet and greet. Gonna have Jerry Lynn there, and Jerry's gonna do a seminar actually too.
That's nice.
So that'll be good. Yeah.
That's right.
Go ahead.
And that's of course April 21st, the Havana Park District Gym, 127 East Jefferson Street in Havana, Illinois. Doors are at 6:30, bell time at 7 o'clock. Tracy Smothers, School of Smothers Training Center in Lincoln, Illinois. Tracy, we're going to let you go. We're up against the clock. Anything you want to leave the fans with, or especially the birthday boy, Tony, with?
Oh, yeah, happy birthday, Tony. And I forgot it was a surprise, actually. You know, I remember it all. This is a surprise. So happy birthday, and you know, thanks for being a fan, and thanks you guys for getting the word out there. This Saturday, for New Focus Wrestling, we're doing a seminar and a show with New Focus in Evansville, Indiana. We're going to do a seminar 2 to 5 there, show for Johnny Richards and, things like that. And then, 7:30 bell time, Evansville at the Salvation Army, you know, things like that. On the 20th, I'm doing Franklin, Kentucky, for All-American, the Wrestling Alliance, All-American Alliance or something like that. James Carver owns that, Mr. USA, the 20th, and I'm supposed to be getting some kind of achievement thing, award, me and Carl. And I believe Kevin Sullivan's there, Damon Wayne, Crystal, James Carver, Chris Michaels, Eric Andrews, real good crew. Victor Bruiser, maybe Francisco and Stormy. I think I'm in a mixed tag with Rebecca Reese, myself, against Francisco and Stormy Lee. So that'll be fun. you know. And then at the end of the month, April 28th, I'm doing the Shine pay-per-view. I'm managing Jessie Bell Smothers, managing her on the Shine. And then I'm going to do a seminar. I believe that's Friday night, the 27th. And then I'm going to do a seminar the 28th for the WWN, Francisco's head trainer, with those guys, you know. So, you know, a few things going
on. Awesome.
That's awesome, man. It's so good to hear that you've been keeping so busy with everything. That's just incredible. Incredible. Tracy, again, thank you so much for calling me for my birthday, brother. I really appreciate it. Been a big fan forever.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, man.
Okay, guys. Y'all have a good night. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Tracy. Take care, brother. Man.
All right.
Tracy Smothers.
The hits are coming hot and heavy, brother. That was a surprise. Dude, he knows so much, man. He's been following. He watches. That's incredible.
That was surprising to me, honestly, to see that he follows it so.
And his analysis, dude, on everything.
This is pretty, I mean, everything. Hard to argue. It's hard to argue.
It's good to hear that he's like still involved, you know, and he's like a success story, dude. He's like got no mortgage, got no more kids. They're out of the house.
Got no more kids. I killed them.
Allegedly.
Man, what a wealth of knowledge.
He's incredible, dude. That was a great get.
Pick his fucking brain.
So it's all downhill from here?
No, it's only
going to get better.
Good God.
I have texted our next guest.
Next guest.
But again, he's...
What time is the next guest supposed to call?
A minute ago.
Oh, Jesus.
Look, I run them close, man.
I know. No rest
I got to
the
get
wicked.
Them all in. It's a scramble.
What are we up to? Number six?
Six, seven, eight, nine. Yes.
Oh,
yes.
So, wow.
Oh, it's flying, dude. The last guest I have booked is at 8:30, but there are some others closer to the 9 o'clock hour. I know you said 9:15. Look at that. Here we go.
Boom, boom, boom.
Joining us now on the Shining Wizards Hotline.
I'm scared.
He's a staple of WCW in the Cruiserweight. He's the one, the only, the greatest manager in WCW history, Mr. Sonny Ono. How are you,
sir? Get out of here. No way.
Hey, how you doing? Where's that no good SOB Tony at?
That's me, Mr. Ono. I apologize. I didn't mean to be so ornery, sir. How are you this evening? Thank you.
That's all right. That's all right. Hey, I just wanted to call you and wish you a happy birthday. And hope you're having a good time, and hope you have all those diva calling you up, giving out giving them their number to you, and hope you have a wonderful day.
I've been having a great day, and it's just been getting better now that you're on the phone with me, sir. And I got to ask you a question for the birthday. Maybe you can send me a copy of Ninja Star Wars, maybe.
I don't know if I have any somewhere. I don't even know if I still even have it. But I know Eric has some. I don't know. We made those commercials many, many years ago.
Yeah.
So I may have something to do with Eric Bischoff getting into wrestling business.
No, just a little something to do with it, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Hey, let me ask you a question. I know a couple of years ago you were on with friends of ours on Turnbuckle Throwbacks, and I know that you were trying to get rid of a motorcycle that the Macho Man had given you. Do you still have that thing?
Yeah, we do. I mean, they've been talking with a couple of museums and stuff, but, you know, somebody can still ride it. I mean, it's only got like 3,000 miles that we used to go to Sturgis, back in Hog Wild days.
What was that like? That must have been an incredible trip.
Yeah, it was pretty nutty. You know who impressed me the most was Hulk Hogan's wife, Linda. She, all the boys, I'm talking about everybody from Harlem Heat to Steiners, you know, and they all just kind of got off the bike and went on a $1 million bus, you know, because the weather turned. And that woman... Linda Hogan rode that bike through a hailstorm, a rainstorm. It didn't matter. If it snowed, she was riding that bike all the way to Sturgis.
Damn. Yeah, she's tough as leather.
I was impressed. Well, she is. Well, yeah. And she had proven herself to be tough as leather.
Yeah. Mr. Ono.
I'm sure you can ask Hulk.
You've been around, you've been hitting the wrestling circuits. I know you'll be coming to the New York, New Jersey area June 8th and 9th with WrestlePro on the 8th and House of Glory on the 9th. What's the bond like? Because you're being advertised as appearing with Ultimo Dragon and you guys spending all that time together. I mean, how important is that bond that you and the Dragon have?
Well, it's interesting enough. You know, Ultimo Dragon, you know, and I will sincerely argue that he's one of the best cruiserweight ever to hit the scenes. And you know, he revolutionized, you know, cruiserweight wrestling because of his lucha background and because he was a New Japan dojo where he started. And you know, of course, he's the only person that I know that's been successful in all continent of professional wrestling realm. So, you know, and to answer your question, you know, I help him with many of the things that we've done some business together. And more than anything else, you know, we're brothers in arms. I mean, we help each other. We've just been friends. And not only that, you know, I needed somebody to go eat sushi back in the days when nobody else was eating sushi. So, you know, we're just great friends and we kept up. As a matter of fact, I kept up, you know, many of all my friends at WCW, especially with some of the luchadors and certainly all the Japanese wrestlers that I have got to manage, you know, throughout the years. So, yeah, so, you know, we're just good friends.
And that's what kind of – you kind of jumped ahead of me because I was going to ask you other than – I mean, when you think back at your career, you think Ultimo Dragon first and foremost. But then there were so many other guys that you helped in your days in WCW, and I was just – and you kind of spoke on it a little bit. Some of the luchadors, what was your relationship and who did you have the most fun with back – even guys like Ernest and Cat Miller too.
But, you know, La Parca – who's now one of the biggest star now in Mexico, and then you got, you know, Hoovy, Psychosis, you know, El Dandy, Silver King, all those guys, you know, just the fact that they were in a position where they didn't communicate very well, and I was in a position to be able to help the Japanese, so it just kind of it was easy for me to. You know, with us, I speak fluent Spanish. It was easy for me to help them out as well. So, you know, and when you're on the road, you just become a family, you know?
Were you ever considered for the LWO?
No. That was I think you have to be Latino.
Oh, is that what it was?
And I just didn't quite qualify, you know?
I thought they may have, you know, bent the rules a little bit for you with your good standing with the group.
Yeah, I had a great standing with him. But, you know, we had a New Japan thing going on and New Japan NWO thing going on. But listen, I got to run. I have to. I have a show I have to attend to. But I will call back into the station and talk to you guys next time when I'm out and about. And whenever you need to get hold of me, you know how to get hold of me. So.
Sonny, right. Thank you so much for calling for my birthday, man. You made this day extra bright. Thank you again.
All right. Happy birthday.
Thanks, Sonny. Take care, brother.
All right. Bye-bye.
Sonny Ono.
Holy shit. One. Was not expecting that at all. Then again, I wasn't expecting Tracy Smothers.
All right. You have 7 minutes until our next one, and this next one is literally all you because I have no clue, dude.
Oh, no.
Don't.
I'm just saying. It's all you. I have no clue.
You don't know who it is?
No, I know.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't, actually.
Oh, no.
We'll figure it out. We'll walk through it together.
Oh, no.
There's a couple. You got a little testy yesterday in the group text.
Oh.
So, you.
Me?
Yeah, with your fat shaming of Nia Jax.
Wait. I didn't fat shame Nia Jax.
Oh, that wasn't yesterday? That must have been Sunday. The picture of Paige yesterday, right before she retired.
Well, that was rough.
That was doctored, dude.
I understand that, but it was still hilarious.
So Paige
here has become a meme, you know.
God.
Yeah. Well, you're making fun of Paige. You know we. You know.
Oh no,
Paige here.
I had to go like Billy Norton.
I'm filming a movie.
Oh no.
Maybe.
Oh no.
I'm filming.
No,
a movie.
No, he was just on the phone.
You dick. Oh, geez, Louise.
We are rocking. I didn't.
All right. Wait. Do we legitimately have 6 minutes?
Yeah, why? What do you got to do?
I'm just going to take a piss.
All right, Tony's going to take a piss. Tony's birthday extravaganza. We are rocking and rolling. I don't want him to be peeking and see what we have left.
Ooh, boy. We got three left on the docket?
We got three left and on the docket.
They are three big boys.
Yeah, they are. We pulled out the big guns.
Three main event players.
And I'm still trying to work a couple things there, Kev.
Oh boy!
Bonus maybe. If
it's going by quick, I'm not gonna lie to you.
It is going by really fast.
Maybe we could. I mean, you did a great job, dude. And we're not even done yet. So kudos to you. And we're not even remotely done yet. We had some great calls. People who knew Tony with the whole Tier 1 history and stuff like that. And of course, Sonny Ono, legendary. What's that, Tracy Smothers? Yeah, Tracy Smothers called in and he was,
Are you really going to make fun of Tracy Smothers?
I loved it. Listen, I loved it.
I wish he turned his TV down.
Yeah, that was a little weak.
His TV was a little loud.
A little loud, you know.
Well, you still have time. You have 5 minutes, dude.
You only got 5 minutes?
Yeah, 8 o'clock is when our next guest is going to call in.
I'm watching American Idol and I just don't understand why.
And if you're listening to this live Tracy on the rant... Smothers. RantEMRadio.com. We did do, me and Kevin did a whole 50 minutes on WrestleMania weekend and WrestleMania and NXT, and it will be part of the podcast form. So if you tuned in to listen to us talk about WrestleMania, fear not, it's there. You just have to listen in podcast form. This is all about Tony tonight. This is his birthday extravaganza. If you're tuning in late, Jay George kicked it off, followed by Cauliflower Brown, our friend Kareen from Radioactive Metal.
Kareen Toenail.
The hottest chick on the Shining Wizards Network.
The only chick on the Shining Wizards Network, if I'm not mistaken.
That's
right?
What makes her the hottest chick, yeah. Kevin. And then we followed that up with Matthew Ryan Shapiro from Capital Wrestling. Tracy Smothers, a real legend in the world of professional wrestling.
I wish I could talk. I mean... I wanted to ask him about like a bunch of different stuff from his career.
I think we can easily get him back on
just cause
in the future.
Every single pack of WCW
Tracy.
Trading cards
I
had
Sonny.
Had a Tracy Smothers
the Southern,
card in it.
The Southern Boys. Southern Boys.
Dude, you could probably call Sonny Ono tomorrow and he'll talk to you for an hour. Like, he's that cool.
Yeah, and we had Sonny Ono. I mean, Tracy Smothers, man.
He blew me away, dude.
What a wealth of knowledge. Seriously.
We could have just had him do the entire WrestleMania recap. By the way, you are recording, right? Like, the show's recording?
Yeah.
But no, okay. Just didn't want to do it, you know?
On the GarageBand?
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm just making sure.
I'll fucking murder you, dude.
I'll murder you, because I can't see the computer, dude. All I see is this.
No, we're still in the red. That's still going. We're recording.
Not bad, huh?
Oh, my goodness.
Is the red bad or is the black bad in stocks?
Red is bad. Yeah, black is good.
That's right.
Keep it in the black.
So we got about 3 minutes before our next guest calls. Again, this is all you, Tony. The next guest. If you were going to give
is this somebody that's going to give me a hard time?
No, they're not going to give you a hard time. If you were going to give WrestleMania a grade, what would you give it?
I'd say a C.
Whoa.
Okay.
Why, you think it's too high?
No, me and Kevin gave it a B.
I gave it a B plus.
What didn't you like? If you could sum that up in 2 minutes,
like, what didn't you enjoy? Yeah.
Well, I still don't understand why Finn Balor is like the bastion of the different community now.
That's
just weird. Like, why would you not have a new character come in and develop that with someone else?
I think they're playing off that whole Ryan Satt and Vince Russo thing
with Finn Balor.
Didn't they say you're gay if you like Finn's abs or something like that?
So they're making him a gay pillar.
No,
now?
But why not support the community, man? Because
nobody
ain't
gives a
nobody.
Shit about what Vince Russo does, dude.
It's not about Vince Russo. It's about the WWE turning a negative into a positive.
Yes,
but it goes into like what Hollywood does. Like, you can't just have a white male be a lead anymore. It has to be like an Asian woman with one leg. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, I don't. I have no clue what you're saying.
Why does Captain America have to be a woman? Why does the Hulk have to be a woman?
But Finn Balor is not a woman.
Yeah, but why can't you just come up with another character that incorporates what you're trying to do?
But why do you have to do? That's not part of his character now. It's part of his merchandise and it's on his gear. But it's just like in football where you wear a charity cause on your cleat.
No, but that dude, that's forced. That's bullshit.
No, you don't know if it's forced. Maybe it's something he believes in.
Why did this not come out until WrestleMania?
Because they're trying to make fucking money.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow. You're really going to sigh? Because what if they're donating the money to LGBTQ, whatever the fuck
it is? It just came out of nowhere, dude.
I don't give a shit.
I paid no attention to that at all. And the fact that you're harping on it is like blowing my mind.
Look, all
they
right.
didn't do anything else other than
all him right, calm
him.
Down.
No,
dude.
No, no. I'm
saying is why? Oh boy, forget it. I'll save that thought. It's time to get good again.
Joining us now on the Shining Wizards Hotline exclusively
for
Tony's birthday.
I'm in trouble.
The one and only Dave Millican.
Get the get out of here. Come on.
Now, a little birdie told me that it's Tony's birthday. So why am I not going to call in for that?
Holy cow. Dave Millican, thank you so much, brother. This is the kids just keep coming here. Blow me away.
Man. Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I don't know how much you talked to Matt before this, but I consider myself quite a belt mark. And not even so much the belt designs, but the history and everything, dude. This is amazing.
Well, man, you know, you're a man after my own heart. That's what got me in this business in the first place.
Wow, dude, I'm sort of speechless right now. Let me gather myself.
He's definitely gonna have to collect his thoughts because we kind of threw it off like it was someone that was gonna kind of razz him and make him feel like embarrassed and stuff, not knowing that it was gonna be the guy that he probably has more respect for than anyone probably in wrestling, other than maybe Bruno Sammartino.
Well.
And
my gosh.
So trust me, knowing Tony and knowing how big of a belt fan he is, I know it's going to take him a couple seconds to collect his thoughts and formulate a question for you. But
well, it's not even so much a question. If you don't mind, I could jump in. I'm ready to go.
Go.
And compose
I had to filibuster for a second.
No, and I appreciate it. We actually chatted a few years back when more photographic evidence came out of the Hulk Hogan picture belt. I think it was the Hogan 80s. Yeah, I mean, you know the one. Of course, you know the one I'm talking about.
Sure.
Yeah. So we went actually back and forth on that, and I remember that when I was a kid, and I thought I was nuts, and I had actually reached out to Scott Keith because he was the only guy I knew back then. It was like the budding days of the internet, and I remember that from when I was a kid. It was Hogan doing an interview with Ken Resnick, and he came out with this belt, and it was the first thing that jumped out at me. I'm like, whoa, where did that belt come from? And then the next week it was gone. So I thought maybe it was like one of those things, like, you know, you're a kid, you're not really seeing things straight. And then when that came out, I'm like, well, if anybody knows about this belt, it's Dave Millican. So let me get on the horn. And dude, you were so gracious. Like, we talked about it. We went back and forth about it. Do you remember anything?
I just hated that I let you down, man. Cause you know, where the truth is that none of us really know. And I've talked with Ben Brown, WWE, the archivist there, and they asked me about it before they did an article on it, and you know, I've got some of the artwork for it. A friend of mine found where Reggie had made one years ago for somebody, and I was able to track that down. But man, it's just, you know, I do know this about Hulk, and I'll let you get back to what you were saying, but I do know this about Hulk. Hulk could be very, very fickle about belts and how they fit him. And that actually came from Ben Brown. And he said that if Hulk didn't like the way that a belt fit, then like when he came back and he won the Undisputed title, he didn't like the way that one fit in. Although I guess he didn't have it long enough for him to really do anything about it, but you know, he could be fickle about that. So that could be it. I mean, we still really don't know.
But that's the other funny thing too, because he was the first guy to have that design belt. And as a matter of fact, that was when the company was switching over. So he didn't even have the original belt that long because they had to change the artwork on that.
Right. Well, what had happened, at least the best that I can piece together, is the 86 belt had already been was in use. This one popped up for a week or two, and then he went back to the 87 design and kept it until the Winged Eagle debuted on the main event, where he dropped it to Andre during the Hebner thing with the two refs. So it definitely didn't stay around long. I've never even seen the Resnick interview that you talk about. I've had other people mention it to me. I've seen just where he wore it to the ring against Orndorff. That's all I've ever seen as far as footage.
Yeah, you see, those are the pictures that came out recently. But yeah, the it was one of those, like, you know the blue background with the old WWF block logo, you know, like they used to do on the Cindys, sure, on Saturday and Sunday. And it was Ken, sure, Resnick's day, and he came out. He had the headband on. He was calling him Killer Ken. And I just remember getting a look at that thing, and it blew me away. A couple other stories, man. Like, I not only the belt designs, but like the little things, like. Did you have any involvement, like when the Macho Man had the Winged Eagle belt, you know, sort of tailored down and done with the Velcro instead of the snaps? Because I know that was his preference. I know you talked about Hogan's preferences.
Yeah. Right. That would have gone back to Reggie just before I hooked up and started working with Reggie a few years before that. But I do know the story on it. And that was all Randy. Like, the belt was sent to the company with snaps on it. Randy took them somewhere, had the snaps removed, and the Velcro put on. That was all 100% Randy. And that goes back to his ICW days, because the Poffo's ICW belt that Randy had most of the time also had Velcro. And I guess Randy just liked it because of, at the time, how small his waist was. It was just very easy to deal with versus trying to get, the snaps to work for him.
Unbelievable. And the other thing I had to ask you about, it was when they brought back, when Cody brought back a couple years ago, the classic IC design. This is other stuff that I talked about with you as well, but maybe we want to bring the fans up to snuff on this one. When he brought, sure, out the belt, I noticed it was different, and I knew it had a J-Mar look to it, because I've seen, you know, his work over the years, of course, as well. And I was like, wow, right, like, they kind of tweaked it. It looked like it, but not really. And then I started to hear about the whole thing where you got on the phone with them. I know the story, but I can you let the folks that maybe don't know what happened from that point after it debuted?
Yeah, sure. I actually was not watching the pay-per-view where it debuted. And a friend of mine, it's somebody that wrestling fans, if they're really hardcore fans or ECW fans, would know. My buddy Judge Jeff Jones happened to text me that night, and he said, "Hey, is that your new Intercontinental belt?" And I was doing the Intercontinental belts for him, so, which were the oval look one. And so I was like, I sent him one, you know, however long ago. But I don't know about a new one. He was like, "No, it's white leather." And I was like, "Nope." So I watched the replay. So at 8 o'clock the next morning, I was on the phone with them. I was like, "You can't do that." They're like, "We can't do what?" "We didn't make the belt, but we own that." "Well, can you prove that you own it?" I was like, "Absolutely." And so, my contact there actually was saying, you know, I didn't order this, but I'll check and find out who did. And it turns out it was somebody who also was a great person to deal with, but somebody that worked for Kevin Dunn. Ordered it, and for some reason, because of the J-Mar era, they thought that they had to order it from J-Mar. So it was an honest mistake. The only person that should have spoken up and didn't was J-Mar, and that's, you know, it is what it is. They were like, "Well, okay, we see the, you know, the problem and the mistake. How quick can you get us one of yours?" And I was like, "Yeah, we can get that. It's pretty basic, you know, we don't have to change a whole lot, so yeah, we can get that pretty quick." And then I really, time gets away from me, but I want to say it was, maybe a year or so later, it started cropping back up again, like in backstage segments, and it was being used. They even asked me at the time, said, "Do you care if we use this on house shows, you know, for the live events?" I was like, "No, I don't care. I mean, it's you bought it, you had it, whatever." Then it starts turning back up again on backstage segments, and I was like, "Okay, guys. You know, here we go again." And so they were very cool about it, and we worked into a deal and got it into the hands of a collector, and they got some stuff they were happy with in return. And you know, now it's off TV and gone forever, and just the way it should be.
Unbelievable. God, there's just so many things. I wish I had you for 6 hours. This is crazy. But two things I got to ask you about first off. One,
sure,
I've seen it on your website forever. What's the story about this McDonald's championship?
It's pretty simple, man. Pretty basic. I think it's got to go back at least 10 years, maybe longer.
See, this is the Rolodex that goes through my head, company. Though. I'm sorry. This, yes. These are the things that just get stuck in my head. You know, like I see this stuff and it's like, wow, now I got you on the phone. I got to ask you about it. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, do you know that the, no, it's okay. Do you know that the bootleg guys, that thing is so over that the bootleg guys have copied it. The Pakistani bootleg guys have made McDonald's knockoff belt. Is that crazy?
Wow.
That hey, people right. buy those things.
Okay, cool. You took me on a right turn. What do you think about the Paki stuff? Like, they're all over the place, and they're pretty piss poor, if you ask me, for the most part. How do you deal with that stuff?
It's just like anything else. It's just like the guys on street corners that'll try to sell you a fake Rolex or you know, a fake Gucci bag for your girl or something. That's all it is, man. And some of them are better than others, just like some of the fake Rolexes are better than others. But at the end of the day, they're all still fake. And they're not made from the correct art. They're not made. They're not the correct size. And you know, and they're on crappy leather. And you know, I hear it all. We actually have gotten a handle on it to some degree, to a very small degree, considering how widespread they are. But actually, some of them are actually some of the American distributors are coming to us and saying, "Look, these things are rampant. Let us at least license them through you, so that you get your money, and let us sell them because you know they're out there anyway." And so we actually have deals with several dealers on eBay and things like that, where at least these guys are trying to do the right thing. And I'm grateful for that. But before I forget, the McDonald's thing, that was just the corporation ordered it. I don't remember the specifics on what it was for, but somebody inside the company ordered it and we made it, and you never dreamed that we'd still be talking about it 10 years later, but we do.
That's insane. The other one I want to ask you about, I've seen the Madonna Championship. That's another one that stuck out in my head. Not so much where the, you know, the designs and whatnot, but how does Madonna get in touch with Dave Millican? How does that happen?
Well, just like anybody else with that sort of fame and power, Madonna doesn't, but Madonna has somebody that does. And it worked out to be a great deal. And honestly, I've forgotten. There was three or four of those things that we made, including a corset stage version. So, you know, you see one and it makes it to the album cover and everybody's like, oh, well, we'll go to the back of the line because Madonna wants a belt. It's like, no, Madonna didn't want a belt. Madonna wanted three or four belts and she wanted them at a premium, and money's not exactly an object, and this is how I make my living. So it is what it is. But that's what it is. And she had one of her costume designers contact us and work with us on it. And we had actually done, you know, the regular tooled leather belts, and then she came back and said she wants a corset version. Can you do that? So we worked with the costume designer and let her design the corset part of it while we did the belt plates and that sort of thing.
And I'm gonna steal a question from Tony real quick. You mentioned belt plates, and that's part of the belt that fascinates me the most. And kind of just I want to know what the process is. Do companies or wrestlers or whoever it may be come to you and kind of give you an idea of what kind of plate, center plate, they want for the belt? Or do they just say, hey, this is the championship name, it's an Intercontinental Championship, it's a Cruiserweight Championship, here's what we have? Or is that something that you design and then give to them?
It works both ways, really. A lot of the indie companies and things like that will have an idea and say, well, "What do you? Can you show us something that with these ideas? And can you come up with something?" Whereas WWE, if you do something, obviously we own the Intercontinental, as we've already talked about. But like for instance, I do the United States Championship for them. That's completely their design, and they send the artwork. Now, sometimes the people that design the artwork don't understand the etching process, and certain things will have to be changed with thickness of lines or things like that to make it etch properly. But it's their artwork, and they bring it to us because they want to own it all for replicas. You know, they still pay us for replica sales for the Intercontinental and the Winged Eagle belt. So, you know, going forward, and when you see a new Intercontinental belt or whatever eventually, then you know, it'll be a design that they own because they want to own it all. And I completely understandable. So that they get those merchandise sales, the replica belt sales.
No, of course. That's huge business for them. Dave, I don't want to cut it short. Matt's telling me we got another call coming in about a minute. But, brother, sure. I want to have you back on, man. Like you can tell, I'm fascinated with belts. We've only just scratched the surface. This is only what all I could think of in the few minutes that we had together off the top of my head. But, dude, this was a great surprise. Dave Millican called me for my birthday. How amazing is that?
Well,
that's the wrestling business.
Trust me,
man.
In my house, they don't think it's that big of a deal, man. I'm glad somebody cares. Trust me. But hey, Tony, Matt, hey, you guys, anytime, Just let me know. Give me a heads up. We'll make it happen, okay?
I appreciate that. Thank you so much, brother.
Beautiful.
Yes, sir. Happy birthday.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Millican. Wow.
There you go, Dave Millican.
You guys surprised the shit out of me.
At Dave Millican on Twitter, DaveMillicanBelt.com.
Belts
and he's
or
got
belt?
A, and he's got a, this is belt.
Mm-hmm. Belts.
Belts.
You said belts.
Excuse me. And he's got a pro wrestling tees store, prowrestlingtees.com/Dave Millican.
The ace of belts.
We got two more left, Tony.
Just a quick thing. Oh, is it on now?
No, no, you're good. You'll know. I'll give you the intro. Don't worry.
So Dave Millican learned how to make belts under Reggie Parks, who was a former pro wrestler turned belt maker. And they also have an artist that I don't know if they still work with him, but a fellow by the name of Rico Mann. So a lot of times when you see the belts, I don't know if Reggie's still like into making them, but it used to be like a Parks Millican man like production. Like one would do the art, one would do the leather, one would do the plates, like everything. One stop shop for awesome belts. That was so fucking cool, dude. And I appreciate the filibuster while I gather my thoughts.
No problem. I knew like you like had so much in the hopper that you would have asked if you had known he was calling. But since you didn't, I knew you had to get like you said, the Rolodex.
I was expecting some nasty bitch who was gonna beat up on me. Like if Karma would have called in or something like that.
No, that would have been great.
Ah, I didn't think about that.
That would have been fucking brilliant. This was
I didn't think about that until just now.
This was the struggle because of where your birthday landed. In terms of like WrestleMania weekend
and how busy people were,
trying to get people.
We could have waited another week. I just figured.
Nah.
You know what? And I felt bad because I felt like Damian Dragon, like ruining the post WrestleMania show.
That's the only time I ever wanted to walk out of the podcast. It's the only time.
Only time?
Legit, the only time I was ever like, this is a fucking waste of time. Like, I need to leave.
Dude, he had his retirement show.
I don't give a flying fuck. We flew the Lopez's out for WrestleMania, and I spent a whole weekend with them. We did everything. There were so many stories I could have told. And we had fucking Damian Dragon here talking about him leaving his goddamn fucking boots in the ring for the ECW Super 8 or whatever kind of weird shit it was.
He didn't leave it at that point. It was coming up in the future.
Whatever. It was fucking... You're having a good time, though. This is your birthday.
This has been awesome.
We're rocking and
rolling.
So
we got two more to go.
We got two more to go. And then me and Kevin, there might be a couple others that call in at the last minute.
Okay.
But these two are the main event.
Oh, wait. So Dave Millican was not the main event?
Dave Millican was the semi-main event.
Jeez Louise.
The feature, if you will.
Yeah, Dave Millican. Wow. It really, with all due respect to the first couple people that called, once it hit Tracy Smothers, we were off and running.
What was wrong with Jay George? What was wrong
nothing
with
Colin? Nothing is wrong with them.
You hear that, Jay George? I hope
they were the fluffers, if you will.
Wow. Well, if there's anybody I want to be fluffed by, it's Jay George and Cauliflower Brown.
It's a slow build. And Homeboy better call soon because we got one at 8:30 too.
I know. All right.
So,
let me reach
Homeboy?
Out.
Yeah, Homeboy.
Well, does that mean he's a man of.
No.
No, it does not. But this is time sensitive is the biggest. Is the biggest thing here.
Yeah.
I can't believe Sonny Ono still has that motorcycle.
I don't even know.
He was trying to get Dave to
help
him to sell it. I don't know if you remember that story.
No, I don't.
Yeah, him and Dave were pretty close for a while.
Dave gets himself into some weird situations.
Well, I mean, Dave is like into the Asian Film Festival. You know, he was security for Jackie Chan when he came that one year.
Yeah.
You didn't know that.
Yeah, no, he was.
No, Dave's like fucking 100 pounds soaking wet. Security how?
Dude, he's protecting. Like Jackie Chan, he's protection?
All right, fair enough. Good point.
You know what I'm saying?
It's not really protection. It's just like a buffer zone so he can get away. it's like kick his ass.
Dave takes the first punch, and then Jackie just jumps over him and kicks everybody's ass. All
right. It's like a deterrent, not a...
Yes.
Not a...
The first line.
It's basically what it is. Love all right,
so while we're waiting for our next guest to call in, and I hope he calls him soon.
He better.
It
could be quick, though.
Yeah, I know. But we got... 8:30 is the main event.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Paige has been announced as the new SmackDown general manager.
Really?
Good and her first order of business is AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan tonight.
Wait, what?
Tonight?
Wait, what?
Tonight.
What? Why would you do that?
I didn't fucking do anything. I'm
why?
Not the booker.
Why? Oh, I know why. Because somebody's going to Raw next week.
It's the night after WrestleMania. That's
somebody's
why.
Going to Raw next week.
Daniel Bryan or AJ
Probably
Styles?
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, Daniel Bryan.
Unless they can't hotshot the title, dude. He's got a feud with Nakamura now.
Yeah.
So Daniel Bryan is going.
It's got DQ Schmaz written all over it.
Yeah,
and then you get a tag team match.
Next ooh, maybe Owens and what's his
Owens
name?
Owens.
There we go.
Oh boy. Oh jeez.
joining us now on the Shining Wizards Hotline for Tony's birthday extravaganza. He assures you we are live, and he's not even supposed to be here today. The one and only Brian O'Halloran.
No way! Hello?
I'm sorry. Is this Domino's?
Yeah, you need pizza.
I want the wings, because nobody realizes how fucking crazy good those wings are at Domino's.
Really? They're Domino's good. Wings?
Yeah, I'm fucking with you, brother.
No way.
Who's the birthday boy?
That's me, Brian. How are you tonight, dude? Thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome. You OKP a huge, huge hands job.
That's right.
Multiple hands. Not just your hands either. Multiple hands on that job.
Well, there's three of us, so there's no problem there.
True. And he is from the Navy, so he'll guide you through it.
Oh, shit. Well, first question first. When are we getting Clerks the Animated?
Whoa. What's with the questions? Who are you, Robert Mueller, all of a sudden?
It's my birthday. I'm Robert Mueller, before I get fired, I got to do some investigating, don't I?
All right. What do you need?
When is Clerks the Animated series coming back?
I don't know. When you're producing it?
Hey, dude, say the word. I'll be on that.
All right. $17 million. We're in. Boom.
Is that how much that shit cost?
I assume so. I don't know. Disney owns all that shit, so I don't know.
You figured the mouse would want to make a little more profit on that. That was amazing television.
The mouse has a lot of health care they got to pay for.
Holy cow. Brian O'Halloran. Oh, my goodness gracious. Hey.
Wow, you sound like my prom date.
Hey, I heard my buddy KP Burt gave you a nice shine up back at your roast. That was pretty awesome stuff.
Very funny. KP, a very funny man, and we worked again on stage just last week or so, and really funny man. You know, it's weird how usually when you don't know who your parents are, you just drown yourself or throw yourself off a bridge. This guy really, really directed that pain and anger into comedy, which is great.
So, all right. So what's Brian been up to since we last saw you in the movies? I haven't seen much about you, brother. Let me know.
The comedy.
Oh, I know the comedy.
Yeah, I've been
doing
some of the comedy things. I have a couple of films that are coming out. I have a TV show on Amazon Prime called Fireball Run. It's a road rally adventure series, kind of like The Amazing Race, but with a hell of a lot better cars. 40 teams going 2,000 miles over 8 days. It's pretty intense. They're on season 10, and that's the season I started with the show. And you can look that up right now if you want, if you have Amazon Prime. Got another movie that's in the works right now called Right Before Your Eyes. It's about a guy who's a raging alcoholic who his wife leaves him, takes their young kid with him, and he hits rock bottom. I play his good friend and try to steer him back into getting his life straightened out. So that'll hopefully be out by the end of this year. Another film called Wit's End by filmmaker David Lee Madison. I'll be shooting my scenes with them hopefully within the next month or so, and that'll come out probably by the fall. And a few other things. And then we have the Jay and Silent Bob movie, the reboot. Kevin's asked me to be a part of that. And hopefully once he's back on the health train and we got everything back in him in healthy heart order, we can get filming by this summer.
So give me a spoiler. Are you playing Dante or are you playing one of Dante's relatives in the reboot?
You know what? It could be actually multiples. I'm trying to go out with a big bang.
Oh, I kind of like that.
Maybe handle a couple of different roles. I'll be like the Eddie Murphy of the Viewist universe.
Go ahead.
Sorry, can I and I don't think this is a popular a choice.
Uh-oh.
My favorite character that you ever played was Vulgar.
Oh shit, I knew you were going to go.
Right on, man. You like guys dressed up in clown makeup. I like that.
Yeah, lots of rape is good time.
That movie creeped me the fuck out.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, you know it's not for everybody. It's written and directed and co-stars one of the great guys from Comic Book Men, Brian Johnson. It's about a young man who's a party clown for kids, not making enough money doing that. Kind of like what KP is not making enough money doing jokes. So he becomes a party clown for adults. And next thing you know, his first gig goes horribly wrong, and you find out what happens afterwards when things go wrong.
Absolutely. Sounds like a...
Brian Johnson must have some fucking weird shit going on in his head.
Well, you know, Brian, definitely, if you ever listen to the Tell Him Steve Dave podcast.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
You can hear it. You know what I mean? He's getting free therapy because he should be paying the other two guys for how much shit he just spills out of his head. And it's funny because he's really, really good and really, really intense. And, you know, he was Kevin's best friend, still is one of Kevin's best friends. And he is the inspiration for the character of Randall in the original Clerks. So, you know, when you think of Randall and where was that kind of thought process coming from, it was literally just while working side by side with Brian Johnson all those years at the Quick Stop and the RST video store.
Dude, he told a story that he watched a girl shoot up heroin just for the yep. fuck of it.
Yep.
That's insane.
Yeah, well, you know, it was her choice. It wasn't like he put a gun to her head and said, do it.
No.
You know, it was just like, what am I going to do? This girl's in this type of, you know, you could smack the needle out of the hand, of course, but you know, I'm sure she would have, like, fuck you, walked out the door and found someone else to shoot up with.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, and if it wasn't, I think if it wasn't for Walt and Quinn actually, you know, doing the show with him every week, who knows where that mind would be adrift to. He's something yeah. else. He's something else, man.
Yeah, he definitely has a dark, deep, secreted kind of head that if you open that door and try to walk into that funhouse of horror, then you're in for a good ride.
Okay, so now I'm going to be a complete mark now. I want to go back to Clerks. You, as a grown man, Caitlin or Veronica?
That's a tough choice, man.
I know
That's
it is. Really it's like Ginger choice. Marianne, dude.
You know what I mean? When it comes to, like, you know, a girl who's, like, loyal and, you know, wants to see you achieve higher, then it's Veronica. If you want a girl who's, like, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, then I guess you would go with a Caitlin.
You don't think Veronica would be a little crazy? I mean, she sucked 37 guys, right? I mean,
that's true. That's true. You know, I would guess so. I'm, you know, we never got to explore that whole, you know, scenario as to what would have happened. Although when Kevin had written a script for the Clerks 3 movie that we're never going to be able to make, yeah, I know it's painful for me as well. And so there was a kind of a scene, a couple of scenes that Veronica comes back. It's almost like a where they are now kind of scene that was hilarious, to be honest with you.
So do you need me to make a phone call to make this happen?
Producer?
No, man, trust me. We've done everything we can. See, the thing is, like, you can't really replace Jeff Anderson playing Randall. You know, this isn't like the Spider-Man franchise where every 2.5 years they go, hey, you look good. Put this mask on and start shooting webs. You know, it's not that simple when it comes to the Randall character. I mean, some people have suggested just that put Brian Johnson back into the role since he's the original inspiration. But it would, you know, Kevin is very cool in the sense, like, look, it's like a 4-piece band. When one of the four, like, if the drummer leaves, it's not really the same. Or if the lead guitarist leaves, it's not the same. So, you know, who knows? There might be a change of heart come the couple of years come down. Who knows? Maybe there'd be some sympathy in the fact that, you know, Kevin had a heart attack and was like, look, let's get this going before he goes. All right, come on. Make the kid, you know, make his dream of getting the third one done. Let's do it for the old Kevin Hart. And not the black Kevin Hart, the heart of
hey,
Kevin Smith.
Hey, Kevin Hart to play Randall Graves. Come on.
That would be interesting.
That'd box be funny.
Personally,
shit,
I tried to say we should have brought in, what's her name? Why am I blanking on her name? Female comedian. She had her own show on Comedy Central for a long time.
Sarah Silverman.
I was like, why don't we bring in Sarah Silverman? She's a very much Randall-esque type of Ooh, personality.
Fucking Randall with tits. I love it.
Yeah, right?
That's a show, Randall with tits.
Name it. Mark
there
it.
You go. That's Sounds it. Like a podcast, actually.
I'm calling my lawyer now.
There you go.
Holy cow. Well, if you need me to talk to Jeff, please let me know.
Will do.
Definitely. I want to make, dude, you don't know how many of us want that to happen.
Oh, no. Listen, everywhere I go, especially at the Comic Cons and stuff like that, they're all like, so what do we got to do? And I'm just like, you know, unless we can do a whole Tupac CGI 3D thing with Randall, I don't know how we're working it. You know, maybe we get some Lucasfilm action in here. If they can get, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi in every fucking Star Wars movie popping up, why can't we get a Randall?
Or if you were happy enough to sacrifice your triple wizard hand job, I'm sure we can get that Jeff's way. That might work.
No, that's special occasions only. That's that's used on Lucas or someone at Disney to get me into a Star Wars movie. I'm not wasting it on a Clerks 3.
Beautiful. All right. Well, Brian, we want to thank you.
What are you doing? Now, let me ask you a question. All right. Tonight's your birthday.
Yes.
I assume you're on the East Coast here. So it's around 8:30. What are you doing for your party 8:30? You know, I'm going to, it's my birthday. You doing Hooters? What are you doing?
Probably putting my kid to bed at 9 o'clock.
Responsibility.
There it is.
Oh, boy.
Motherfucker. Brian O'Halloran, thank you so much for calling in and wishing Tony a happy birthday.
Thank you, guys. Thank you so much for having me. Have a happiest of birthday. I don't know if they're going to take you out this weekend, maybe, so you can give the kid to the wife and be like, look, I need to get my groove on or whatever. But happy birthday. Have fun. Kevin, thank you so much for taking the call. And I hope to see you guys out on the road there soon.
Thanks.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it, brother.
You're welcome. Happy birthday.
Thank you, sir.
Beautiful, beautiful. Look at that. Brian O'Halloran.
Woo. How you feeling?
He got me a little nervous.
Oh, Tony is sweating bullets over there.
I wanted to ask if he was a wrestling fan.
Sweating because it's hot. Well, dude, but that's the thing, man. It's like we only have so much time with these guys.
I know. That's the problem with these gimmicks.
And it's your birthday, so it's your day. And I kind of hijacked your Milliken interview because I wanted to know.
You didn't hijack it. I'll let you have a question. Yeah. I mean, it's the least I can do. You guys booked this shit, right?
Yes. Yes, we did.
I didn't mean like, what have you been up to? I kind of want the people to get what he's been up to. You know what I'm saying?
No, I know.
There's so many, like, and that's a guy just like you, and our questions would probably be completely different, but we would completely enjoy each other's questions to Milliken about the belts.
Yeah.
Because you're more historical in knowledge. I'm more aesthetic in terms of, like, how I like the belt to look and how I want it to be and certain things where you appreciate the design as well, but also the knowledge of existing belts and the history that they involve.
And there's little things, like I know he's an historian as well, so when I ask him things that he wasn't directly involved in, he knows about it, you know? So like when I ask him about the Macho Man, when I ask him about the Hogan belt, he wasn't involved with it per se, but he knows about that stuff. And it's cool to talk to somebody when they know about the stuff that you're interested in, you know?
No, absolutely. It's all about you, man.
I know, this has been awesome.
We're having a good time.
Fucking amazing. Brian O'Halloran. Wow. I never would have thought.
Yeah, I'll have another. The one that's laying down, not the one that's standing up.
Yeah, don't take the ones that are standing up.
They're bad.
I got to throw them out.
Brian was a Kevin get. Kevin didn't even know you were a Clerks fan.
Are you serious?
Yes. I told him you were a huge Clerks fan.
I could have went into like, you know how I first watched Clerks? When I had my wisdom teeth pulled and I was laid up in bed, I had the VHS that I had bought like 2 days earlier and I popped that shit in. And while I was all doped up, I watched that movie like 7 times. Drool and blood on the pillow. My face was swollen. And dude, even in college, like we had all the sound bites everywhere.
Of course you did.
It was like they had a website.
Those are the good ones.
They had a website that some dude ran from another college. He had all the sound bites.
He had
a game where you play the sound bite. You had to put what movie it was, not what movie it was, who said it and who they said it to. It was really cool stuff. That was my intro to Clerks.
Ooh. Yeah, Kevin thought I was joking when I told him.
No, I didn't think you were joking. I just didn't know if it would be something that he would appreciate or something that he'd really, really mark out over.
Kevin Smith, I'm all in.
Yeah, I can't speak for Tony. I quote fucking Clerks all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, I was looking for my headphones and they're on my fucking head. I'm not even remotely drunk.
We are having a good time here at Tony's birthday extravaganza.
And the heat is on.
The heat is on. We are live on the rant, rantemradio.com. The rant's coming up at 9 o'clock. I'm sure they're going to talk about WrestleMania.
Yeah, Brian O'Halloran was just on the rant. Guys.
No, yes, he was. Yes,
Brian O'Halloran was just on Rant EM Radio. Put that in your pipe.
So we are patiently awaiting.
So look, let me just finish off the point that I was making three guests ago. Let them do whatever they want to be inclusive. I just didn't get the whole Finn connection. I didn't get it.
I don't think
if they're making the connection over Russo, that's pretty shitty because Russo's fucking awful. You know how I feel about Russo.
I never thought about that until Matt brought it up. I don't think it was a matter of like maybe Finn does truly believe in that cause. Maybe it was just like who would be a good face for this cause and who would openly and welcomely support it.
But you know how in wrestling like things build up. It just seemed like, oh, really?
But it doesn't necessarily have to be an angle or a gimmick or
a character. No, but it was just weird that it was just kinda like, hey, here it is. I don't know. Look, wrestling to me is stories. Give me a story. Build it up.
I mean, that's fair, but I just think it was a nice gesture more than anything, and I think he had it on his boots again last night, if I'm not mistaken.
And it's fine. It was just a head-scratcher. Why Finn? Why like this?
I mean,
you know?
Again, I think it was just like, who would be a good face for this cause? And if it wasn't this cause, it probably would have been another one. But they just wanted a guy who clearly is a genuine good dude who they want to put as a face for this cause, this awareness. And if putting stuff on your, and Jeff Hardy did it last night too. He had the rainbow gear on as well. So it's not just Finn. It might just be a whole WWE, you know, like Susan Coleman they might start this now.
Which is weird because they're
Susan
going
Coleman? Susan Woman? Susan Who did I say?
Yes. Yeah, oh my God! The gays are into wrestling! Oh, goodness gracious!
John!
The queers are in George Steinbrenner's ass!
John!
Sorry, I've been drinking.
I know you had one. Look out.
No, this is
boy.
This is number two.
Hurricane Tony.
He's a rager. He's going to punch Margie in the face tonight.
Wow, we didn't do a birthday show.
Really? Really? Really?
I don't know. You never drink, dude.
I'm having fun.
I know you're having fun.
I just talked to Sonny Ono, Tracy Smothers, Dave Millican, and Brian O'Halloran.
Yeah, it looks like that's probably going to be it.
No, I just sent him an email.
I didn't mean like to not give you props for that, but I figured because KP did his show that like, hey, it's a nice icebreaker. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, to talk about KP?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, he brought it up. He said it. He said that we owe him a hand.
Okay,
up.
He did. See, that was the weird thing because like the first few minutes of that, I was in a haze.
Yeah, this is what I'll tell you the entire process.
Oh, here we go.
I brought up Matt. I'm like, what about Brian O'Halloran? KP just opened for him. I think they're close. What do you think Tony would care for that? And he's like, I had brought up a previous name which I won't mention, but then Matt was like, I think this name is better than the other name. So I'm like, all right, that works. I reached out to get the other name, didn't get him.
I think we can. Oh.
Oh, boy. This is it? The coup de grace?
This is the main event, boy.
Ladies and gentlemen, joining us now on the Shining Wizards Hotline for Tony's birthday extravaganza, this man needs no introduction, the one and only Eric Bischoff.
Come on! Are you serious? Hello?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Tony. Happy birthday to you. What's up?
Nothing's going to top that. We might as well end the show now.
I'm sure he'd be fine with that.
Eric Bischoff just sang happy birthday to me.
That's right.
Thank you, Eric. What's up, brother? How are you tonight? Thank you for calling me for my birthday.
I'm doing great. I'm looking out the window. I'm here in Cody, Wyoming. We had one of the first really nice spring days we've had in a while. And just looking out over the lake and the mountains and enjoying the view and wonder if you guys are having fun tonight.
We are having fun. And it's funny that you mentioned Cody, Wyoming. You're going to think I'm a complete creeper for asking you this question. But I've heard you talk about it so many times. And I'm glad your podcast is coming back, by the way. I was thoroughly enjoying it. And then it sort of went away. But I'm glad. I don't know if I'm crazy about it coming back with Conrad. I know you guys don't get along too well. No, I like Conrad. I don't know if these guys get along. Because if you remember, we were at Barclays not too long ago, and these guys were butting heads like two Rams. So I just want to make sure they're on a good page. But let me get back to my point. You would talk about being in Cody, Wyoming, and I remember you told me you went out there. And when you originally went away from WCW, you talked about fly fishing out there. So me, like a creeper, I went on Google Maps, and I was checking out Cody, Wyoming, and bro, it's I don't want to be Vince Russo-esque here. It's amazing out there. How did you wind up going out to Cody? Are you from there? Did you find a house there? Did you know somebody that was out there? Because it just seems like a great place.
I came out here when I was about 22 years old. I had a friend of mine who was a little bit older than me, and he had come out the year before. In 1976, he had come out here, and he and I got together, and he told me about what an amazing time he had and what an amazing place it was. So the following summer, I met him out here, like I said, when I was 22, fell in love with the place and said, someday I'm going to live here. So someday I did.
So now what do you do out there? Do you have any animals on the farm? Like, do you ride a motorcycle around town? Like, no, dude, they're laughing at me, but I am totally 100% interested in Cody, Wyoming. Call me crazy. I want to know about it.
Well, first of all, they don't call them farms out here. They call them ranches.
There you go.
So you got to get that straight.
Okay.
Farms are east of the Mississippi. Ranches are west of the Mississippi, for the most part, especially when you get near the mountains. So that's number one. Number two, I've got a horse, got my dog, and I've got a motorcycle. So I do all of the above.
It just sounds so amazing out there. It really does.
Go ahead.
Save your money. Get out here and enjoy it sometime. Come out in the summer. It's no fun here in the winter. Not much to do. But in the summer and the fall, it's a great place to come. Come out and fly fish or go to the rodeo or go up to Yellowstone Park. I'm only about 40, 50 miles from the east entrance of Yellowstone. Red Lodge, Montana is not far away. There's a lot to do here in the summertime. So,
dude, Eric Bischoff goes to
jump in your car, drive on out, man.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a beautiful ride.
Wait, are you inviting me to hang out at your place?
Oh, God.
No, I didn't say that. It's your birthday. I didn't adopt you, for crying out loud.
Eric, I want to bring up a little anecdote that you and myself and Shining Wizards Matt have from a couple years ago. It was Legends. It was Legends of the Ring in Monroe, New Jersey. We were at the bar. You had gotten in late. I guess your flight was delayed. And you had gotten in a little late. It was late at night. The bar may have been just around last call. I believe Chuck Palumbo was also present. And you sat down next to myself and Matt. And we were kind of like, at this point, we're kind of relatively new in the podcast, in the wrestling podcast game. And we're just like, what should we do? Like, how should we broach, it's Eric Bischoff. And, we know your relationship with Jason Hervey. He's been a former guest of the show. And Matt yells loud out of nowhere, "So I hear the Wonder Years box set is coming out soon."
That's always an icebreaker.
and it didn't really work. But then he bought you a beer, and I think I think there was a baseball game on, and I think we ended up just talking baseball a little bit because we know how big a baseball guy you are. I had to throw Matt under the bus for that. So
yeah, and my questions about Cody were embarrassing, right? Jeez Louise.
All right, guys. Well, look, I got to run. I got to finish up dinner. I just want to call in and say happy birthday. And Tony, you got some good friends there. They were pretty persistent. So
thanks. Hey, Eric, real quick before we let you go, what's the word on the podcast? Can you give us an ETA as to when you're getting back to the podcasting world?
No, and I'm not trying to be cute. We know we're going to do it this month. We just haven't nailed down a day yet. It's kind of a day-to-day thing. We're just wanting to make sure that we're with the right platform on the right day. So I'm kind of leaving that up to Conrad. I'm sure I'll hear more about that tomorrow. But as soon as we know, you'll all know.
That's awesome. All right. Thank you so much for calling, man. I really appreciate it. This made my night.
All right. See ya.
Thanks, Eric. Take care, brother.
Bye.
Eric Bischoff. Wow. Wow.
There we go.
There it is.
Wow.
There's the cavalcade of stars.
That was the main event. Ooh, wow. You feel it?
What? Had I known he was going to be that quick, I wouldn't have asked him about Cody.
Nah, don't worry. I mean, you think he gets tired of fucking talking about WCW?
Probably, but it's just kind of weird that it was like throwing Matt under the bus and then you guys laughing at me.
See, I didn't realize he was going to bail either that fast.
So. I didn't either. I wouldn't have
brought it up if that was the case. I thought we had him for a few
don't
minutes.
Worry. I told him 5 to 10 minutes.
But genuinely,
right. Yes.
But genuinely, I was interested in Cody. Like, he made it sound like this amazing place. And from what I've seen, it looks amazing out there. I don't know. It'd probably be boring as shit to me until I was out there for a little while. And I don't know if I'd want to stay out there. But it looks cool as shit. Like, even the wife and I, we've been talking, like, instead of just taking trips to, like, the regular, like, you know, your regular vacation
like
spots.
Like, resorts, like, your beaches, your...
Like, one of our dreams was, like, just to go check out Mount Rushmore. I know, cliche, wrestling, blah, and everybody does it, but...
It's gonna have
like, just
Shawn
shit
Michaels,
like that, dude. Like, Yellowstone would be an awesome trip. Is there anything on here that
no,
I need
that's
to
it.
Know?
That's everything.
That was the run sheet.
That was everything tonight. Minus Jay George. He's not on there because that was
okay.
The last minute.
Okay. So now, since we're waiting for any loose ends to call in or anything like that, do you have a list of tried twos but didn't get? Do you want to spoil anybody for me or do you want to hold that?
Turn my mic on.
Like a jerk off. I have a very long list, Tony.
Really? People that you tried or just like a list that you were going to try?
People that I tried and I never got a response back.
Okay.
Again.
Because I love this stuff.
This was...
I talked to Eric Bischoff and Sonny Ono.
And Dave Millican.
And Dave... Well, but I mean, Eric Bischoff and Sonny Ono, they were like buddies growing up together.
Yeah, we never bring that up with them.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, we didn't really have a chance, Kevin. Yeah, you told a 20-minute story about Matt.
No, I had to. I would never live... I wouldn't be able to live myself if I didn't.
I'm breaking your horns. I know.
Yeah. Okay. I tried to get Mercedes Martinez.
Oh, that would have been cool.
I tried to get Lodi.
Really?
I tried to get Corporal Kirshner.
No way! Leatherface himself?
Brian Knobs.
Mr. Gaper.
Bushwhacker Luke.
Oh!
Tony DeVito.
Really?
Brian Christopher.
That was pretty good.
And Gino Caruso.
No, and Gino didn't answer you?
Gino never asked. I sent two messages to both of his accounts.
Gino never answers.
And I was in talks to get Animal.
Yeah, Road Warrior Animal.
I was going to say, I was like, George Steele, didn't he die? That's awesome. No,
the
awesome.
Muppet. He was the
Animal
the Muppet.
And Allie.
Really?
Yeah.
That would have been cool as shit.
Those are my tries and fails.
The lineup you had was amazing. Amazing. I really thought you were going to have some slob call me up and fucking berate
me. He wanted to.
All right.
He was like, who's the biggest piece of shit, no name, indie guy that we can just get on the show where you and me go to the bathroom or get a drink and we just leave Tony to talk with him for 20 minutes?
Are you really upset about Billy Norton? Billy Norton was an awesome guy.
No, I love Billy Norton. He was fantastic.
He's one of my favorite people on Facebook now.
Man, I was just looking and certain. Eric Bischoff sang fucking happy birthday to you.
That's
isolate
that's
that.
Amazing.
That's like, I think that's worth the call alone.
That was, yeah.
But now Eric Bischoff hates us because you could tell, like, you have some pretty good friends there. They were very persistent. Air quotes, meaning they badgered me to fucking death.
Look, I didn't.
I know, but that's on his end.
I sent him an email and he said, remind me Monday night. I sent him an email Monday afternoon with the time and the number and I asked him to confirm. And when I woke up this morning, there was no email from him. There was an email from Dave Millican.
That's awesome.
Confirming. So I just sent another email to make sure he got it. And then I sent him an email and told him he was late and he needs a fucking call.
No way.
I didn't tell him he needs a fucking call.
Yeah,
I just told him
he was. But he said, I'm sorry. I keep my hand. Kevin and I had a moment when I think Brian O'Halloran was on the phone. I was like,
No, here's the thing. Here's my biggest concern. And this is what happened when we did Eddie's show. People don't read the Eastern. Like, he's in Cody, so he's 3 hours behind, right?
I guess, yeah. So,
but I give him our time, and I put it in caps, and I just want to make sure they fucking see that it's Eastern so we don't have another Sam Houston, Dan Severn situation.
What's wrong with Sam Houston and Dan Severn?
Did you listen to Eddie's birthday show?
He did.
Oh, he did. Dan Severn called at 8:30. He was supposed to call at 7:30, but he called Central Time.
Yeah.
So...
And Sam Houston was supposed to call in at 8:30 Eastern time, so Matt
introduced
the intro.
I introduced Dan Severn and Sam Houston. That Dan Severn laughed, and I threw my fucking headphones in my living room because I was super annoyed at fucking Dan Severn, the beast.
Dude, former NWA champion, former UFC champion, former Ultimate champion.
Dan,
no thanks. Pass.
Was he in the Janela Battle Royal too? Or was he on the show?
He's done Janela before, man.
He was on that show.
Yes, he was.
I think he was. Holy cow.
Wow.
Yes, he was.
This was amazing.
Are you enjoying your birthday celebration?
Oh, well, there's more?
Yes, there is more.
Who's calling?
I can't tell you that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
This is like the, this is dessert.
Everything else is extra now.
You had the kickoff and now you have the post game.
Did you tell Snowy to call before he hangs himself?
I did not tell Snowy to call.
Snowy should be listening.
Kevin likes the Devils and I like the metal, so let's do
Devil metal.
Yeah,
hey.
Kevin, did you leave a hockey stick outside for all those dead Canadian kids? Okay, hey,
that's fucked up, dude.
Let's listen to some Slayer.
That's fucked up.
What you know
that was,
about?
I read that story. That's sad.
Oh, you know
that's some Adrian Adonis shit.
What about Johnny V?
I know.
Oh, yeah.
But he ran in the street and he got fucking hit by a car, right?
Why did Johnny V cross the road? He wanted to die. Sorry.
God.
What? He talked about now. The British Bulldogs being full of British bull.
Bro, how about Jake the Snake throwing a fucking, or
Harry Smith throwing a cup of coffee in his
face? All right. First of all, Davey Boy Smith, Dynamite Kid, they were not exactly the greatest human beings when it came to locker room etiquette. Davey Boy, not so much, but Dynamite was a piece of shit. You've said it a million times out of your own mouth. So, yes. Jake talked about how fucking awful they were and the awful ribs they used to pull. It's the truth. And he wanted to go outside, and Jake was like, I'm not going outside with you. So he fucking threw a coffee in the guy's face. I don't know. It's a little, that's kind of fucked up.
Little like weird. Like, you're Harry Smith. You're a giant. Like, you're a monster, and you're fighting this old beaten down. You challenge this old beaten down decrepit guy to a fight.
Yeah, that's kind of fucked up.
And I love Harry Smith. Harry Smith's a good dude.
No, he is a good dude. But
one of the funniest moments I ever had was him running around the streets of Rahway.
Somebody must have gotten his ear about that, because that's kind of fucked up. Like Jake is.
Jake has said a bunch of shit about his father.
Yeah, but shit about like ribs and stuff. I don't know if it was anything like Davey Boy's a piece of shit. If he had facts, dude, if he said Davey Boy's a piece of shit because he used to shit in my bag, or he used to fucking give cocaine to my snake or something like that.
You think he really gave a shit about a snake?
No, he didn't.
Or cocaine.
But if he's got to work with the snake and the snake's all fucked up, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's a real pain in the ass.
Because he'd be like, hey, I'm going to give
snake.
Me some.
Macho Man would have never got bit if that snake wasn't high as shit.
Yeah, well, Macho probably was high as shit for that biting. Probably. Don't kid yourself. Oh, boy. Look at the time.
How you feeling?
Tired. Are we done?
No.
Come on, man.
You said 9:15 was our tap.
I understand, but, you know, sometimes when there's a good place to end on, you don't need to keep dragging on, you know? It's like the fucking, it's like putting on Strike Force and the Heart Foundation after you have Hogan Andre. What's the point?
Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, you're on the line for Tony's birthday extravaganza.
That's me.
Hey, dude, what's going on?
Hi, Snowy.
How's it going?
Hey, how's it going?
How are you, Snowy? Hey,
hey, she's going pretty good up here, eh?
Hey, is it still 20 below up in the Canadas, eh?
For sure.
He's in Manitoba.
That's where I am, yeah.
This guy.
Yeah, sounds like you guys are having a hell of a time. I'm in and out trying to listen to as much as I can. I listened to Corrine on the show while I was at work, and then I had to motor home, and I turned it on as soon as I got home, and Eric Bischoff, way to go.
Isn't that crazy?
Would you motorboat Corrine? Oh, hold on. We got another Snowy, hold on. Snowy, hang tight.
In another world, another time, another place.
All right, Snowy, I got another call, and I don't know how to do three-way calling, so just hold on, okay?
Okay.
And if it's too long, just hang up and then call back.
Okay.
Don't go anywhere. Shining Wizards Hotline, you're on the line for Tony's birthday extravaganza. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, how you doing? This is WWE Hall of Famer Bret the Hitman Hart, and you're listening to Shining Wizards Podcast.
Wow.
Mr. Hart, how are you?
Bret the Hitman Hart.
Tony,
how's it going, guys? I was just watching my niece, Natty, compete out there on SmackDown. She's always been a hell of a competitor. She does the Hart family proud every time she goes out there.
Hey, did she do the family proud when she was showing her cooter at WrestleMania?
Hey, now that's a form of disrespect there. You guys like having the Hitman on the show so you could throw a little jabs. That's all right. You guys want the rub from the Hitman. I know my name still carries a lot of weight being a five-time world's champion.
Yeah, it does. 100%. And we do like having the Hitman on. There's just questions we have for the Hitman that we just don't like.
We're journalists. We have to ask them.
We didn't get a definitive answer. Miss Calgary, Diana Smith, or Miss New York?
We're going back to this.
Is she still, is Miss New York still out there competing?
As Miss New York? No idea.
On the highest level.
I know Diana's still doing a lot of, she's still doing a lot of good charity work out there, and I'm very proud of her. She does the, she does the Hart family very proud every time she goes out there.
Did you read her book?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great book. Every time she picks up a pen, she does the Hart family very proud.
What, was Davy Boy doing the Hart family proud when he was drugging her and ass raping her?
Was that you talking about when he confronted Arulian, Jake the Snake, and who's the other guy? Scott Hall, the Click.
Yeah, hot coffee, really?
You know, the Hitman. I knew Scott Hall likes to throw jabs, and you know, Davey is just a lot of. He's just very proud of his father. You know, he does his father proud every time he goes out there, and he does the Hart family proud every time he competes. Because you know, him and TJ and Natty were in the dungeon since they were kids. You know, since they were born.
Right.
So in the Hart family, once you're born, you get thrown in the dungeon?
Probably.
I thought you said you were going to get thrown coffee. But yeah, usually the kids, they just go out there on their own. You know, TJ would go down there. He brought some friend of his.
Oh my God.
His name was Teddy. And they'd go out there and they'd go down in the dungeon and learn moves. And my brother Owen would go there and teach him some stuff. They were good. You know, every time they go out there, they do the Hart family very proud.
What's any word on the Lonesome Dove DVD release?
Yeah, we're working on getting the Blu-ray DVD coming out. I think the last time we had that, we had a Laserdisc. You could still pick that up. I believe it's at FYE. I'm trying to get them to put that next to the Bootios. And I think the New Day, they're doing very good out there. You know, I'm not. They never trained at the dungeon or anything, but they do. I feel like they do the Hitman proud when they go out there.
Does the New Day and the Bootios? They do the Hart family very proud too, right?
I think Big E and Kofi. They remind me a lot of me and Jim Neidhart when we were coming in there training with, well, not training, but rather competing against the Killer Bees, Brian Blair, and the other guy, Brian Blair's Jim Brunzel. I'm sorry, the Hitman's had a couple matches, you know, a couple share shots to the head. And obviously a couple mule kicks from Goldberg did me no good, but I'm still here.
It's okay. How did you feel about, I'm catching up on the Total Divas. How did you feel about Natty trying to set up Big E with Natty's sister? He's trying to smash that.
Oh, I love that. That was a great arc. And I think that, you know, I think we'd definitely welcome Big E to the family. I mean, guys like that. Those type of power lifters always came to the dungeon, and Stu always took a liking to those type of guys. So I believe that Natty and her sister would be doing the Hart family proud, taking in a guy like Big E.
Oh, very good, very good. We had your favorite wrestler, Jay George. He kicked off Tony's birthday extravaganza. Have you been keeping tabs on Jay George?
Jay George, I've been talking about this guy. He's going out there and he's doing he works a great style. It's like he reminds me a lot of a younger version of myself. He even has a similar attire with the singlet and the long tights. And you know what? I think the Hitman might have to give him one of the old knee pads that I had, you know, with the Hart logo on them, because I think he does the Hart family very proud, as you could imagine, every time he goes out there.
Yeah, he does that thing where he draws. What's with the eyeliner? You didn't wear eyeliner, did you?
No, but you know, Owen would put that on the guys when they were sleeping as a rib. Owen liked to do a lot of ribs. He was known for Owen was known for his ribs, and he was a good soul.
Yeah, absolutely good soul. Well, Brett, it's been a pleasure. We appreciate you taking the time to call in.
Was there a reason why you wanted the Hitman to call in today, or my plug in the convention? What was the occasion?
Well, it's a little weird for me to tell you the occasion because he's sitting right across from me. It's Tony's birthday. Tony's birthday.
Are you talking? Oh, you're talking about. Of course, you're talking about Tony Candelo. I trained. I didn't train. What am I saying? Tony Candelo. He booked a lot of the Hart guys up in Canada, and they would do those death tours. Tony's a great promoter and a great guy, and I consider him a great friend. And I just want to wish him a happy birthday, Tony. Thank you for all the work you've done helping break out guys like Chris Jericho and Lance Storm and Edge and Christian. You know, all the guys that came and did your tours up in Canada, Tony Candelo. I just want to say happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you, sir. Hey, how come you didn't send that Vinny Pacifico up my way?
Oh, is that Tony? That's you. You're there?
Yeah, I'm here, brother.
Yeah, the kid. He doesn't do the Hart family proud. He's still got a long way to go. He's still green, but he'll get there. Tony, now when the time's right, I'll send him over to you.
I hope so. He's an adorable little fucker, that kid.
Hey, what's that? The turkey's ready? All right, the hitman's got to go. I got the turkey in the oven. It's ready for me to dig into it.
You're the best, hitman. Thank you so much, man. Have a great night.
All right, you're listening to Shining Wizards podcast. It's Brett the Hitman Hart.
That's great.
Thank you.
We got a liner too.
Holy shit. Okay. Oh, shit. Snowy's still there.
Yeah, well, of course he is. He's enjoying the hitman.
Snowy.
Hi.
I'm sorry, brother.
God bless you, man, for hanging on. Sorry.
We had to cut across your great country to Calgary. We got a call from the hitman, Bret Hart.
That's okay. I don't mind giving up the stage to a fellow Canadian icon. So, hey.
Yeah, that's it. That's all you got. So, hey, Jesus Christ, Snowy. Come on, man.
It was also nice of him to name drop Tony Candelo like that.
that hitman, he knows his stuff.
Wait, could you hear the phone call while you were on hold?
Well, he's listening.
Yeah, no, I'm not on hold, but I got the radio on.
Yeah, see?
Oh, that's pretty cool.
He's listening live on rantdmradio.com.
He is.
We're off the rant now.
Sometimes I go through a lot to listen to you guys live because I get off work and I got a book at home, so I'm not listening on my data, on my phone and all that. And I got shit to do and all that, but you guys are worth it. And I'm so glad I called in tonight, and happy birthday, Tony.
I'm
glad you're having a good day.
Tony gets real fucking sentimental when you call. He gets all, see that? Because I was making fun of you earlier when the hottest chick on the network was on.
Oh, here we go.
What?
Matt gets boners for girls that talk to him against their will.
It's boners for chicks who are in the metal, too. Don't forget that.
All right. So it's Serena Deeb.
Yep.
Alpha Female.
Yep.
And now Lily Genova.
Her name's not Lily.
It's Lily, bro.
It's all an insurance scam.
That's her dancer's name.
I tried.
Her name is Lily Bendova, but she wanted to class it up for Facebook.
And she did this weird, like, Asian thing.
Yeah,
it was real
weird. Toenail is an Asian word? I would have never thought that. Dude,
this is a new one on me.
I got to tell you though, one time when I think it was when she said Decibel magazine, when you were just ripping on her, going, "You're so pretty, Corrine. Corrine, you're pretty."
Yes, that's kind of my own thing. Like whenever a young lady, like if my wife screws up or someone at like one of the girls at work screw up or Corrine or whatever. I'm kind of a wise guy, as you guys have figured out, and I'll just go, that's okay. You're pretty. You're pretty. And then I get the odd girl that thanks me. She'll actually go, oh, gee, thanks. I'm like, no, don't fucking thank me. I just called you an idiot.
Awesome, man.
Yeah,
Snowy,
yeah.
What?
See, but the whole thing is an ongoing joke with us now because she screwed that up and we haven't let her forget it.
Okay.
And we won't.
Okay, that's very good. Hey, Snowy, when's the next? What's your biggest favorite heavy metal show?
You should have listened to episode 500, you jackass.
Well, I haven't had fucking time, dickload.
You listen to the show.
I did enjoy the John Bush show, FYI.
Oh, good.
I'm a huge Armored Saint Anthrax guy.
I know his cousin, Billy Lawn.
Shut the fuck up. What should we? Oh, shit. Hey, he just hung up.
No.
No, I'm here.
No. Hold it. Give him a... Snowy, we got another phone call coming in. We're gonna let you go. What should we expect,
yep.
501 Radioactive Metal?
Next episode, we got the death metal band Skeletal Remains, and then coming up, we got Ross the Boss and Gus G.
Ross the Boss from Man of War.
You betcha.
Fuck yeah. Snowy, we got to let you go, brother. We'll see you later.
For sure, man. Happy birthday, Tony.
Thanks, Snowy.
All right. Joining us now on the Shining Wizards Hotline.
Wait, they're on?
They're on. And
oh, shit.
We owe this man a three-way hand job.
That's right.
Brian O'Halloran called back?
No.
We didn't owe him the hand job.
We owed KP Burke the hand job.
Oh, KP. That's like money to KP. I give him hand jobs every week. It's like an allowance.
Is that true, KP?
Tony Shinsuke Nakamura.
Is this
artist?
Shinsuke Nakamura needs to get a better fucking cell phone.
Here in the digital mobile episode.
What?
Digital mobile!
Every time with it, I bought it at a Walmart. Need to see.
Did you buy your cell phone from Steve the Turtle Weiner?
I want to book him for Kevin's show.
This is awful.
You're fucking awesome, Shinsuke. Your phone eats a dick.
So do I. Hoi. I eat them big sausage.
Shinsuke bring a great dishonor upon this house.
Okay, we heard that. Did he hang up?
Shinsuke did hang up.
Did he say see ya?
I don't know what he said.
Good
Lord. That was tough to hear.
Yeah, the phone
was rough. We probably should have ended it with Bischoff.
No, this
or Brett with Brett.
This is just as good.
Everything does Brett proud.
That's amazing.
The greatest fucking line.
Billy Kay and Peyton Royce have made their debut at SmackDown.
All right,
as well.
It's the Elite Squad. What are they called? The Tribunal. The horrors.
We just got new titties club.
Doesn't matter.
I love them.
You gonna watch the Andre documentary tonight, Grandpa?
Fuck! I have to set the DVR. Let me tell you something about Xfinity.
Oh, here we go. Hot take.
I got the email reminder that it was on tonight, so I go to my Xfinity app to set my DVR. You can't set your DVR in the app anymore. That pissed me off. Good thing you reminded me. I got to set that shit. Well, it's not like they're not going to air it 10,000 times.
Yeah, it'll be on demand at midnight, probably, or as soon as it's over.
But still, man, I want to watch that shit. I got to get that shit on. How long is it? 2 hours? An hour?
I think it's an hour.
Oh, it's got to be 2 hours. How did you?
I was just spitballing. I know,
but how could you encapsulate Andre the Giant's life? It's like the Ric Flair 60.
Wasn't very long.
Whatever.
What if it's 90 minutes?
90 minutes? It depends. If they're not doing fluffernutter shit. We could probably get it in there, you know?
That's what she said.
Hey.
See, we could have used the Andre the Giant impression right here.
I don't have an Andre the Giant impression.
Call Cauliflower Brown back. See if he's got one.
So did you enjoy your birthday show, man?
I enjoyed the shit out of it.
Is there anything you want to cover in the last 10 minutes since we are still recording? And I did put out there that we are taking birthday phone calls.
Oh, boy.
If anyone responds, it's a whole different animal.
Yeah, well, I don't know. There was just so much that happened at Mania that I wanted to talk about, but I think we kind of just blew through everything that
we did. Did we get your opinion of the main event, Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns? Did we talk about that? I don't even remember.
I don't think so, but I get. Yeah, we did because we're talking about Saudi Arabia. But
oh yeah, that's right.
It killed it, dude. They go hand in hand. It's like they took so long for Daniel Bryan to reach the pinnacle. It was like 3 years. Not to mention they fired him and he was gone for a long time too. What are they doing, dude? What are they doing?
With who?
With Roman Reigns. Like, they should have pulled the trigger and just been over it. I get that they want the moment, but it's fucking Backlash 2000 all over again.
Do you think it was because everyone was expecting Roman Reigns to walk away because of the contract issues with Brock Lesnar?
I don't know if those contract issues were really legit, to be honest with you.
You think he was always going to be back?
Yeah. I think he's leveraging UFC because he goes back to UFC, dude. He still can't fight for, what, 6 months, a year?
And then I'll be 41 or 40 by then?
Yeah. And Shane McMahon, dude, that's another thing that pissed me off. Daniel Bryan's return and fucking shitty Shane fucking punchy McMahon. He was terrible.
Oh, we didn't talk about that.
As great as Stephanie was, and I thought they, dude, that match, I have to agree with everybody else. That match was way better than it had any right to be. People were like, Kurt Angle was sad looking. He can't turn his head. Bullshit. That shit was booked amazingly.
I love that match.
You couldn't have booked it any better. Stephanie blocking the fucking, you know, the arm bar as much as she did. And then Ronda just looked at her and she was begging for mercy. And she was like, fuck you, bitch. And she slapped it on. And Stephanie tapped right away, which is the way it should have been done. Amazing. I love the shit out of that. Shane McMahon with his fucking pussy ass punches in the corner. Ugh.
They are pussy-ass punches.
It's terrible. Stop throwing punches.
Or at least learn how to throw them like a wrestler and not want to be MMA fighter.
Don't throw them. Don't throw them.
If you learn how to throw a punch like a Bret Hart or like a fucking, I don't know, like a...
He loves Jerry Lawler Savage. So why wouldn't he train with Jerry Lawler? Jerry Lawler's got an amazing working punch.
Or you know, he should train with Sean Dipsy Donovan. He throws a good punch.
Yeah, when are we getting our next episode of fucking... I got to talk to all those guys. We haven't heard fucking Genuine Taste lately. We haven't heard fucking Dave Destruction lately. Gino Gotz is sort of on the fence. Like, he's been doing them, but not so much. Not that I want to break their balls. I just miss the shows.
No, you can break their balls.
All right, fuck them. Guys, we need content. What are you doing?
There you go.
Hopefully Monday we'll have a new edition because we're going to record the first episode of the Dumbfellas podcast.
That's awesome. Hopefully. Maybe we get some fucking comedy on the Shining Hopefully. Wizards Network.
Maybe.
That'd be cool as shit.
It's KP Burke and Brian O'Halloran. How could it not be comedy?
You know
comedy?
What? They're having the fucking SmackDown shakeup next week. Maybe we'll have the Shining Wizards shakeup.
Well, yeah. should we trade me for Snowy?
No, we'll fucking send some.
Hey, you know.
Kevin was good, but he wasn't. In Canada, we don't fight like this.
My birthday.
Talk nice about each other.
Hey.
That Patterson booking the Royal Rumble.
And, you know.
Touching balls.
I put it out. We're taking phone calls. No one's calling.
Good. Shut it down.
What do you want to hear? Is your fucking go home birthday song?
I definitely don't want to hear Bad Reputation by Joan Jett. Whoever.
Oh, I like that song.
You know what? Her skirt was a little too short for coming out, but she looked good.
What? Thoughts on the Hall of Fame?
You know what? This will be my closing. This will be my closing for the night. You don't like Kid Rock. Thanks. That was a good one. You don't like Kid Rock going in the Hall of Fame. Tough shit. He's in the Hall of Fame. Deal with it. There's a lot of people in there.
People really bitch about that?
God. It's been nonstop. People, Kid Rock in the Hall of Fame.
His speech was amazing, too, by the way.
Yeah, because he gets it.
Amazing may have been crazy.
No, but
it was
good.
It.
Dude, okay. Snoop is in the Hall of Fame. What the hell is this? Oh, Kid Rock? I don't want to hear Kid Rock, dude. Fuck that shit.
I want to hear the whole song, though, because it picks up in the second half. I don't know.
What do you want to hear?
Well, while we play shitty Kid Rock, let me plug my shitty comedy.
Okay, good enough.
Thursday night, the Kilkenny House, Cranford, New Jersey. Adam Lucidi, friend of the show, is coming back from Texas. One night only. Adam Lucidi, McDonald and Carney, KP Burke, Shinsuke Nakamura, Samoa Joe, Rob Van Dam, EYFBO, LAX, Drew Gulak, The Patriot. We'll all be doing comedy at Cranford, Kilkenny Club in Cranford, New Jersey. Sunday, Tierney's in Montclair. He wasn't lying. I am performing at Tierney's with KP Burke. It's a tour. Me and KP are on tour. And then Friday night, West Orange Elks Log. Elks Log. I just put an Elks Log in my pants. West Orange baseball fundraiser at the Elks Log in West Orange.
Jesus.
Myself, KP Burke. No, I'm kidding. Myself, Adam Lucidi, Rich McDonald. Get out, hit me up, Instagram at Shining Wizards Kevin, on Facebook at Kevin Garifo, Twitter, I mean, at Kevin Garifo. There you go. That's it. Sorry, boys.
No, you're good.
What
do you
want to hear? See if I'm turned on. I've got something that I'm inspired from Clerks 2.
Turned on.
Yeah, turn me on.
Just tell me
soundboard.
What to look up.
Oh, what's the February? What? April?
Jesus.
April 18th.
Am I sitting next to Matt tonight?
April.
Forget
18th.
It. It's not coming through.
April 18th. Again, West Orange, New Jersey. Don Jameson from That Metal Show on VH1 and from Opie and all those channels on Sirius XM.
Opium Anthony.
So there's that. That's April 18th. Check me out.
What do you want to hear?
I don't know.
Shinsuke Nakamura's theme song?
No. Poof. Wow. On the spot. I guess I should have figured this out ahead of time. I would go one of the usuals, like Quack Like a Duck, but...
No. How about here, you want to go Clerks too? What about this?
All right, yeah, we could go out
like
to Talking
it.
Heads, nothing but flowers.
There you go.
I was thinking of more Neckin' on the Swing. It's a short little instrumental piece, but this will work.
Well, thank you guys for listening.
No,
to...
thank you guys for putting this together. This was fucking off the charts. This was insane.
Thanks to Jay George. Thanks to Cauliflower Brown. Thanks to Kareem.
Want me to read them?
No, Matthew Ryan Shapiro. Thank you, Tracy Smothers. Thank you, Sonny Ono. Thank you, Dave Millican. Thank you, Dante. Brian O'Halloran. Thank you, Eric Bischoff. Thank you, Snowy, for calling in. Bret Hart.
Shinsuke Nakamura.
Yes, Nakamura called.
Better get something better than Boost Mobile. Get on that cricket shit.
We will be back next week with another episode of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
A less compelling episode, but more thought-provoking.
This was fun. I don't give a shit what
anyone cares. It's a fucking podcast.
Go to visitwyoming.org for all your information on a trip to Cody. Eric Bischoff invited us. Tell him we sent you.
That's right.
That's a terrible idea. ShiningWizards.com is the website. At Wizards Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Give us a follow. Give us a retweet. Tell your wrestling friends.
Give us a reach around, too.
Yeah, that too.
Follow Tracy.
Buy Tony. A shirt. ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards.
Follow Tracy.
Happy birthday, brother.
Tracy's
brother?
Brother.
The fucking stuttering Olympics over here tonight.
Tracy's mother's.
Who gets the gold?
Me.
Kevin was catching up at the end there. He's doing a little fucking Steve Prefontaine action.
Tracy's mother's was bad.
We'll see you guys next week.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Tracy.